You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
No, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here? I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
Okay, PFW in progress, Tom Casale.
What was that?
What?
You couldn't remember the name of the show? Okay.
I wasn't ready. I got the point, and I wasn't ready.
It's 12:05.
PFW in progress, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, Eric the Leg, and Paul Perillo. If you want to be a part of the show, it's web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. No Fred Kirsch for the second show in a row. I don't know what he's up to.
I'm sure he's designing some restaurant somewhere.
It's a busy, busy man.
Yeah, we got some emails here talking about the decline of the dynasty, like the reasons for the decline of the dynasty, like what's going to happen. Like, a lot of them blame us for it, or in other words, Eric. But
I'm on board.
But the decline of the dynasty is going to be Fred Kirsch, because he is going to run this company into the ground one way or another. So he's not here. The rest of us are here. We got some draft talk. We got some Congress talk. We got Andy dog show talk. We got Andy has an interior decorator talk.
Yep, not true.
I have a question for Paul. This being Valentine's Day, did you send a Valentine/birthday card to your boyfriend in Montana?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Who?
It's Drew Bledsoe's birthday.
Drew.
No.
No contact with him today?
I didn't know it was Bledsoe's birthday.
I had no contact with him.
What is he, 52?
I don't know. He looks it, though, doesn't he?
Strippers has set lunch, apparently.
Well,
we're still waiting on it, and we're a hungry bunch. So we can always, as I said, coming down here, Strippers, this is a big test for us, because if we can't count on you, then we got to scrap this whole freaking
show.
This whole
two days a week thing, yeah, in the off-season.
We're going back to Wednesday, although we don't have anything to do either, so I guess it all works out. So what's going on? You guys were in the locker room.
Maybe we'll go back.
What's going on?
Maybe we'll just go back to Wednesdays for March Madness, though. Can't be having a show on Thursday with the first round going on.
That is true. What's going on is Arlen Specter and Roger Goodell are spinning out of control, as Goodell just spins a new tale every time he talks.
Has the NFL's good fortune ever reached a bigger heights than it did yesterday, though? I mean, this could potentially be one of those stories that's kind of murky and muddy that you don't want necessarily to have played out on sports pages all over the country, and sure
it's in
enough,
like those little notes columns
sure
on
enough,
the side.
It's the it happens on the same day that Clemens and McNamee are dealing with their congressional issues, and no one's really even commented on it. It hasn't made the front page of sports sections. It's buried inside, and that's just the way the NFL and the Patriots would have preferred it, I would imagine.
Well, I think that might have something to do with the fact that it was a closed door meeting. The Clemens and McNamee stuff was a public hearing, was broadcast all over the place.
Right,
Specter
had a press
talked
conference
afterwards.
Right.
And
this would have been a much bigger
This would have been a much bigger story. had it not been for the congressional baseball
on
series.
Its own, yeah, yeah. Any other day, yeah, probably.
And the NFL is eating it up because they look worse and worse every time something comes out.
Well, I just think that Goodell, and this is what we talked about at the Super Bowl when we were all talking and kind of disagreeing with Fred, I just think that Goodell has been contradictory in some of his answers. And now, even since the Friday before the Super Bowl, when he had his State of the League address at the convention center, his answers have changed since then. He said at the time that the reason that he came down so hard with his punishment on that Friday, he said it was because he wanted to maintain the competitive balance of the league. Well, when he was asked about the same thing today, he changed his tune and said it was because Belichick had a different interpretation of the way he read the rule. That was not, I think Goodell said, that's not the way I read the rule or something like that. That was not my interpretation of the rule.
I've got the quote here. Do you want it?
Sure. I mean, just bottom line, it was a different answer than the one he gave 2 weeks ago, weeks ago.
Coach Belichick had a different interpretation of the rule that I don't accept, Goodell said. He thought it was permissible to use electronic equipment as long as that information wasn't used in the same game. That's not my reading of this rule. That's why I disciplined him so aggressively, end quote, Roger Goodell yesterday.
Right. Now, that's not how he answered that same question 3 weeks ago. And I just think that's bad. I think to be contradictory like that is not a good thing.
The bigger issue is he said there were no Super Bowls that were in question, and now we find out that Belichick told him, and everything goes back to 2000. They're looking at specific games now where the Steelers game and where the Steelers won, and then the Patriots come back and win the AFC title game. A very different game played out. Could that have been affected by the fact that they taped the first time, took those signals, used them the second time, and protected Tom Brady?
Right, you guys helped me out here, but We know that Belichick, from being around here and being around these offices at the time of the Spygate, we'll call it Spygate 1 now, I guess. Everybody said that this is nothing new, that Belichick has done this since he's been here, and that's basically what. Was that common knowledge that everybody knew?
Anybody that wanted to know knew it. I mean, it was on message boards. It was written. It wasn't a behind-the-scenes thing.
Goodell
it was in
making
writing.
These comments yesterday as if everybody knows this. He's been doing this since
2000. Well, it was common knowledge to anyone who read the stories about it because the Charlie Weiss quotes dating back to a preseason game with the Buccaneers in 2000 saying, you know, we had your signal, right. So we knew it. I mean, this was out there for anyone who wanted to acknowledge
it. That was in that Charlie Weiss thing. Well, where I read it, I shouldn't say that's where it was. I read that Charlie Weiss anecdote in that Paul Zimmerman piece in that SI.com.
May have been that.
Which was a lot of anecdotal kind of stuff. I don't remember Roger Goodell specifically saying that this is something Belichick has done going back to 2000.
I don't remember.
He said it yesterday very matter-of-factly, as if this is nothing new. I've said this in the past. I'm not hiding anything.
He's never said it.
I think that him saying that to Spector yesterday was, in fact, news to Spector. Anyway, now you could argue that Spector is ill-informed, and I totally agree. I mean, we can attack the senator all we want, and I think that we're right to do that because I don't think that he has any business in this whole proceeding. But I don't think that Goodell was being forthright, but the way he cavalierly said, this is nothing new. It's gone back to 2000. And you make the good point, Andy. He said specifically, this doesn't have anything to do with any Super Bowls.
And
nothing
I don't see
is
how
tainted.
You could say that.
Nothing is tainted. You can't say
that. If they
were
doing
that.
It during the year they won a Super Bowl, then how do you say that?
It's another contradictory comment that I think he made yesterday. And
so Goodell losing a little bit of his luster.
Yeah, he still looks good in his suit, though, and Fred still wants to date him.
Right.
Well, yeah, we should mention one thing, too, is that...
Does that step on your toes, Eric?
we don't know what's out there. But I've heard people say, it depends, you know, how important the practice was that the Rams had and
that's
blah, blah,
stupid.
Blah. If you taped a practice the day before the Super Bowl, you're getting suspended for at least 1 year. At least 1 year.
I think the dumbest question is I hear so many Patriots fans say, well, is there a specific rule that says you cannot tape an opponent's practice?
Yeah, because that is...
Is there a specific rule that says you can't put a stick of dynamite in the ball before you kick it off? No!
That is cheating.
That's ridiculous.
You can talk about the defensive signals all you want. That might, you know, hey, maybe everybody does that. I don't know. But I don't think everyone breaks in and tapes a practice before the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just don't believe that happens. Now, the thing I'm getting a little pissed off about is, where is this Matt Walsh? I mean, either talk or go away. Is he going to talk?
One could believe he's cashing his NFL check that for $5 million that they wrote him to shut the bleep up.
But I also think that he's getting his legal ducks in a row, and he wants to make sure that he has that indemnification that Goodell has promised
him. I think he got paid.
Well, that may be the case.
Do you think he's going to talk? See,
yes, I think he'll talk nothing because he cashed a paycheck.
I think he'll talk, but I don't think he has any evidence. That's my personal opinion.
Now, so you'll think he talks, but here's the thing. Now, like I brought this up to you, Andy. Now, Goodell's kind of in a little corner because of what you guys have been saying. He's kind of been, now, if something comes out, then he'll be in a corner and the Crafts will also be in a corner. At that point, isn't it time to say someone's got to hang for this?
Oh, it'll be Belichick, no
and,
question.
And they'll start deflecting everything towards Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think the what you got to worry about if there's actual evidence, because Goodell and the Crafts aren't going to take the fall here. It's
right.
going to be
oh,
Belichick.
No, Goodell and the Crafts will move forward. Belichick is here is leaves this little story first.
That kind of gets us back to Tom Square One. With
although
the,
Goodell could leave it second.
With the
this is not a good thing for his
no,
regime here.
No,
you know we make fun of Paul Tagliabue being up for the Hall of Fame and what did he do? He's looking like a better Hall of Fame candidate every day. I don't remember these
not
scandals under
to
his.
The voters.
Well, see now, wait a minute though. Let's put the brakes on at that.
He covered it up successfully.
I was going to say a lot of these things happen on his watch.
Successfully, there's a difference between covering it up successfully and bungling through this and just babbling and screwing the whole thing up.
I think that
Goodell made it look ask Bud Selig.
Right. Goodell made it look like he wanted to get to the bottom of it and clean house, and in reality, he was painting over it and covering anything he could.
But I wanted to get back to Tom's point right off the start of the show with the dynasty talk. And I don't know, on Tuesday after I left, was there some talk that, you know, is this going to make them crumble? I don't think any of us thinks that.
I don't
that.
Think we talked about that.
No, we were talking about which former
all,
coach
actually.
Could be gay.
No, well, that we were talking about when I was here, too. And
we actually didn't talk about Spygate on Tuesday.
I told you. No, not Spygate. I'm talking about the Super Bowl loss. You know, is how is
we
this going to linger?
Yes, we did.
How is this going to linger into next year? And we've gotten a lot of emails about it. And I don't think I know in talking to the three of us talking amongst the four of us here, none of us believes that they're going to be an 8-8 non-playoff team next year. So I know that there seems to be there was some misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Andy's back.
Well,
Andy's
just remembered
back.
The discussion now. Yeah, we did talk about it.
But now that would be the only stipulation I would have is if some of this Spygate, if this the aftermath of that leads to a Belichick
sanctioning, we mentioned that.
We said as
now
long as Brady and
different.
Belichick go forward, then it's not over. The one thing we talked about was if, you know, they're going to win the division, they're going
to
win 11,
well, they have
12,
to win the division
games.
By default. The other three teams are so bad.
If the Super Bowl was sort of a sign to things to come, when we've always said sooner or later the plays have to go the other way, the injuries, the luck, the good fortune that they've had for a long time, if that starts to snowball and, you know, all of a sudden Brady takes one of those hits and misses a month and things start to add up and you don't get false starts that win you games, that could be the thing that, you know, pushes them back to the pack.
Like 2005, when they had some injuries where the talent wasn't quite as high. And
I mean, they had the perfect year this year. They got breaks. They stayed healthy. They got, you know, false starts to win games. That's not going to happen next year in all likelihood.
No, and I agree with that, but I think we all think that regardless of all the breaks or whatever, there's still going to be a good football.
Yeah.
I mean, that, the breaks allowed you to be just a regular great team to a potentially historic team,
right.
You know, and go undefeated. But
same
we all
as
know,
it's always been, Belichick, you know, Brady.
But it shows you this is the fine line between, you know, a couple here and there. They could have easily lost two or three games,
yep.
Maybe even more. But they're that good, and then they got some of the breaks that you needed in the Baltimore game, and you end up going 16-0.
I think the thing that's going to have to be done is the handling of the roster, because say if guys like Bruschi and Seau come back, are they going to be as motivated next year as they? I mean, I think they tasted it this year. They could feel that they were going to win the Super Bowl, and I just wonder if I just don't know about the lingering effect with some of these guys, because as Andy's talked before about Seau getting up at 4 a.m. Well, now do you get up at 7 or 8 a.m? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, do you have the same fire? Especially guys like Bruschi who have won a couple already.
Yep.
And so I think Bill's going to have to take a look at that roster and try to get that mix of the core veterans and the guys who still have the hunger.
And like we were talking the other day, you might think that a guy like a Seau or even a Bruschi would have to take more of a reserve role or off, you know, some sort of off-the-bench role and not be that guy.
You would think so.
But the issue is the temptation, and that's why I know Paul said this one day, are you better off if they just cut the ties and leave? Because say you get Dan Connor, whatever, and you have him, and he's out there and he's not playing that well. Well, now you have the temptation to say, well, Seau made some plays last year. Should I put him in? If he's not there, you're going with Dan Connor. For better or worse, he's getting the experience. He's playing. If there's a guy there, now you're tempted as a coach. Am I trying to win games now? Am I trying to win games in 2 years? That's why I do think on some level they'd be better off if both those guys said, I'm retired. I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. I just...
Well, you have to wonder, too, about them. After the Moss touchdown in the Super Bowl, network cut to that shot of Brusky and Seau. Brusky went and hugged Seau on the sideline, and I think he said something
one more time,
yeah, something like that.
One more time.
Like, you know, so the guys are distracted now because food just arrived.
Why do I not see a sub? Strippers, are you kidding me? Seriously, you didn't order a sub?
I don't think you ordered one.
You got to be kidding me. You ordered food without a sub? You moron.
Wow.
That's it. You and I are done.
Only Tom could rip a guy for buying him lunch.
He didn't buy me lunch. There's nothing there I can eat. I can't believe it. You listen to this show all the time.
You're back on the bread. You can't eat any pizza?
No, I don't want pizza. I want a sub.
Well, I know you want a sub, but you said you can't. There's nothing
this
you can
eat. This guy, you can't get anything by him on this show. You ask a question, he's got it in 2 seconds, and he forgot to order me a sub? That's inexcusable.
It's very nice of you, strippers. Thank you very much.
If it was somebody else, I'd let it go. But strippers, I can't let it go. Wow. He knows better than this.
That's not our order.
Oh, wait. What's going on?
Mini Gary says this might not be our order. As Andy.
Gary said no sandwich. Who said no sandwich? Was it Mini Gary?
Or Mini Gary also just got a call saying there's another order out there, and this may not be our order that I'm eating.
Hang on a second here.
Yeah, that's it. Put the sauce
put
back
the
in.
Put the sauce back in the box. Yeah, nice move.
What an idiot.
Strippers, what did you send us?
You know, is that Gary half a retard?
I'm the whole.
Because he sent to strippers, he said, I'll save you from the sandwich order. If you want to send pepperoni pizza and boneless wings, that'd be great.
I got to tell you, if I was Gary, I'd wash my hands of this whole lunch thing so fast.
But then he wouldn't have a job.
They can't please. No matter what he does, they can't please.
The guy does nothing, let's be honest.
They change their orders every other week.
He does nothing.
They do?
But how can,
oh, God, yeah. Andy has like 4 different orders.
I have 3 orders that I asked to be rotated.
I have three orders that I asked to be rotated.
And I'll tell you what.
I haven't changed them.
I have 3 orders, and if one of those 3 were here right now, I'd be happy.
What's your three? I thought you always got a turkey sandwich.
That's what I have now, yeah.
Well, what's the other 2?
Yeah, this is it. Strippers just said what he ordered, and there's no sandwich involved. I'm stunned.
Did he send mozzarella sticks?
I am stunned, yes.
Okay, this is our list.
I'm stunned.
Thank you, strippers.
All right.
Well, Screw Tom. No one likes Tom anyway. No one needs Tom. We're eating and we're happy.
I was going to take a break, but that idiot isn't here. I'm appalled right now. I cannot believe it.
I think Tom needs a timeout.
Tom needs a hug.
Tom needs some love.
I'm starving.
Why can't you eat pizza?
I don't want pizza.
I know you don't want it, but
really
why can't you
eat
it?
A lot of red sauce? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't eat a lot of sauce. It's the marinara sauce.
There's mozzarella sticks.
I can't believe it. Where's Mini Gary?
God, I'm checking on the other order.
We call it gravy.
Who's in charge of this crew right here? Like Gary and Mini Gary?
No one knows.
Okay, because I was going to say, that's the most incompetent crew I've ever seen. Mini Gary just leaves. I don't think that's our order. What do you mean you don't think it's...
The question is, where's Gary? Does he work here anymore?
Yeah, he's got Eric vacation time. Is Mini Gary here?
He's worked here like 15 years.
All right, we're taking a break. Take a break.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak. Okay, we're back. PFW in progress. Apparently, this is not a stripper's fault. It's one Gary Gradecki who told him not to send a sandwich. I mean, that guy doesn't do anything well. He doesn't. He can't get an order straight. I'm just flabbergasted that Gary would say don't send a sandwich.
Did you like the mozzarella stick?
That was all right, but I think I know what's going on here. Gary hasn't worked a day since we got back from the Super Bowl, so he's probably not in the swing of things.
Yeah, I haven't seen Gary in a while. What does he do?
Mini Gary. Who's in charge?
Did he produce a show on Tuesday?
Who's in charge of
not
you
well.
Guys? You and Gary. I want to know, who's your boss?
Gary's my boss.
Who's Gary's boss?
Who's Gary's boss?
I don't know.
Seriously?
I don't know.
You seriously don't know? Like, who's in charge?
I don't know if I should be talking about this.
No, I just want to know. I'm curious. I'm not going to make fun of the guy. I just want to know.
Jen. Farron.
Oh, okay. So she's in charge, like, the whole group here? Okay, I have to have a talk with her. Because you guys aren't getting the job done. Let's be honest.
Where is Gary right now?
Sick.
Oh. I can see that. A lot of people are sick right now. Poor guy, he's so afraid he's giving these bright little one-word
he's
answers.
So scared. He doesn't know what to say. Gary's going to be
mad at him.
We
were actually curious. I have no idea who you're, who's the head of your department, like Fred is for us.
What department do you work? Are you technically marketing?
But
do you
no,
have
no,
a subcategory? We're on the radio here, so I need you to talk.
Broadcast and entertainment.
Okay.
Lawrence from Ireland says, please inform Tom that I'm eating Subway. It's good.
In Ireland?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Subway's terrible.
I wouldn't mind a Subway sub right now.
I can imagine there's better food in Ireland.
Right, talk about something
potatoes
about
or something. Who's this Lawrence guy from Ireland? What happened to the regular Irish guys? And all of a sudden he swung in.
What's the matter? It's a new listener. What's your problem?
No, but he doesn't seem to be quite the, can I say the word prick? That those
other
guys
Eric's
from Ireland
found someone
are.
That doesn't necessarily hate him yet and
right.
He's trying to latch on.
He doesn't seem as drunk as those other guys. Doesn't seem to be quite the emotional jerk as those other guys. There's a normal guy living in Ireland. He must be an American just living there.
And strippers, I apologize.
A thousand
although,
times.
Although, I will say that you are a little stupid because you listen to this show every day. You know I eat a sub, and you ordered lunch. I mean, the email back should have been, you sure Tom doesn't want a sub? I mean, you and I are boys. I give you losing gambling picks. We talk about those stiff draft prospects from Oklahoma. Like
didn't know where you were
back.
Going there about talking about stiffs.
So, okay.
You really are obsessed, Andy. It's
the
unhealthy.
Guy works in the
it's
porn
unhealthy.
Industry.
We got some football stuff. I just saw on the ESPN scroll, I guess, some rules proposals. You guys been reading about these?
What happened?
Well, they're going to talk about the horse collar tackle, and they're also going to talk about making the chop block more easy to enforce and kind of recognize. But I thought the one interesting thing is they want to eliminate the penalty for the incidental face mask contact. You know that illegal hands to the face where you just kind of hit the guy? And
I hate that call.
Yeah, I think it's a cheap call, too, and I think that would be a good rule.
I hate it when they call it on a corner who, like, is jamming.
You jam a guy at the line of scrimmage. I think it's even worse when it's the guy's, the offensive or defensive lineman just trying to disengage from blocks.
Well, I think that's how the corners get a lot, because the corner's trying to bump him, and the receiver is pushing his arms up, so it's automatically, it's like the receiver is instigating the contact with his own face.
Yeah, so I just
Have they had a problem with the chop blocks? Well, to me, it's a pretty basic, simple rule to call.
Yeah, I think
if the guy's engaged and you cut him, it's a chop block.
Yeah, I'd have to see the explanation of it. They just give, you know, in the scroll, Andy, they're just putting up, you know, a couple of words to try to explain it. I'm sure there's an explanation that's a little bit more thorough than that.
What does it say about the whole? It sounds to me that this is anti-Patriots, because people have complained that the Patriots are chop blocking, and I'm sure now Bill Polian has come in and said, we got to, you know, it's a. It's all anti-Patriots.
No,
Fred hasn't been here for a while. Someone's got to pick this up.
There were hardly any. I didn't see that many horse collar tackles this year. I mean,
Williams.
Why would that be coming up again, though? It seems like that was
because it's a stupid rule.
You mean they're going to take it away?
Oh, I don't know.
I think they're going to. I think what they're going to try to do is, I think they watch Roy Williams play and they see how bad he is, and they can't stand watching him either. So they're trying to find a way to suspend him for a year. So the next time he does it, they'll suspend him for a year. So no one has to watch him anymore. I think the NFL looked at the Pro Bowl and said, "I can't believe this guy's in the Pro Bowl." So they're going to try to get rid of him. That's my guess.
I just think it's a dumb rule. Oh, it wasn't the pads. It was the jersey. The jersey's he didn't throw him immediately to the ground. He did.
I like the rule, but I only see one person doing it. Like, I really don't see anyone else doing. Roy Williams is the only one that really grabs you by the shoulder pads and brings you down. Everyone else grabs the jersey.
Now, I hate the rule, too.
Was it more prevalent before the rule was instituted? Did you see horse collars that much?
No, it was just because he broke P.O.'s leg.
It was Roy Williams and an injury. That's all it was.
I mean, he did it a lot.
But in general.
No. Like I said, I don't see people doing it. Mm. I see people like
grabbing.
It's hard
to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, I mean, you can easily miss.
Right.
And if you're close enough, you usually get more than just the back of his neck.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a dumb rule. I agree with Andy.
I say you see probably one a year that don't involve Roy Williams.
I still go back to make it fall under unnecessary roughness. If the official deems he could have done something else.
I'm all for getting Roy Williams suspended. I say keep the rule in and bump up the penalty for it.
So there was a little football we just threw in there among
strippers. Strippers has emailed in and said he'll order me a sub. That's all right, strippers.
He's feeling so bad he's going to.
Don't worry about
it. Screw Tom, strippers. You've done enough for him over the years.
It wasn't strippers' fault. It was Gary's fault. So.
And then if you order a sandwich, then Tom wouldn't have anything to bitch about for the last hour and a half. So.
No, that's okay. It wouldn't be cut or it wouldn't have the right thing on it.
Throw the bread away.
It's like
yell at Gary for having bread included in a sub.
No, it's Gary's fault.
Well,
I saw the email. It specifically says, "Do not order a sub." I think he's trying to get back at us for giving him the business. Lawrence in Ireland says, "No, I'm Irish. Just I'm 17.
You can drink over there. It means you've been drinking for 10 years over there.
The alcoholism doesn't hit until the mid-20s.
Oh,
so.
I don't buy that for a minute. You got at least 10 years under your belt by now. You should have been drinking and
chewing. You got a responsibility to live up to, like Billy Madison would say.
Ireland's got three things.
Except Billy Madison had the responsibility.
You got a responsibility to get your ass out there and find that effing dog.
All right, TG and NJ is he thinks it's over. He's
the dynasty.
No, everything. For us. It's just the whole everything. He's seen the end. He said
of the world.
Because
it
of you.
It's coming. It's what? We're right on that. What is it, 2012? That's right on
December 21st.
I say it does. Nothing happens. Just like when the millennium came and people were
Tom going out on a limb there. The world will not end in December.
You're the one bringing it up. It's supposed to. You don't think there's people out there who think it's going to happen?
I think there's people out there that believe anything.
I saw people buying generators, extra water, and cans of tuna fish because it was going to be the year 2000. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? You have to buy a new VCR. They're buying extra water. TG then Jay though he's done. He said it's all over. Now I know for sure it's all over. Eric, the gay fantasy kicker, was hosting the show on Tuesday. Not only was he correcting the emailer's grammar, but you guys were discussing which coaches in the NFL might be gay. That does
Andy's
it for me.
Topic, by the way.
That does it for me. Now I know for sure it's all over. The dynasty, PFW, the whole thing. The old veteran players will be gone next year. Asante goes to Miami. Moss goes to Jacksonville. Bill Belichick has been taping signals since he got here. All that was won in the past has been tainted. He's gone. Even if the NFL doesn't ban him forever, no team will hire him after this. Is Matt Walsh the next Brian McNamee? Is Bill Belichick the next Roger Clemens? Is Fred Kirsch the next Britney Spears?
He would have a breakdown if that happened.
Eric the Leg is running the show. The Patriots empire is crumbling down. Rome is burning. What of Patriots plays in the Patriots Hall of Fame? Does it ever get finished? Is it now the Hall of Shame? What of the PFW boys? Does Tom Casale get Mike Mayock whacked so he can take his position? Does Fred retire? Paul back to baseball on the afternoon drive? And Andy, what the hell's he going to do? Why couldn't Asante make that interception? Why did Pierre Woods roll over? It all goes back to the Tuck rule. It was a fumble. Okay, I know it's harsh, but I just had to vent.
Good job, TJ.
That's a good email.
Very well done.
That was a very good email.
He really paints Fred well. He's actually like Fred in that, you know. Why couldn't Asante make the pick?
Right.
Why did Pierre Woods roll over? That's very Fred-like right there.
Good job, TJ.
Bob in Phoenix says, how about some football talk? Enough about the food. Why don't you just tune out, Bob? We don't really need you. What do we got, 130,000 a day now or something? We don't need you, Bob. Go to Steelers.com. See what they have to offer. All right. Okay.
He should be tuning into Cardinals Football Weekly. Oh, that's right.
There will be one soon once I get my teeth into it.
Get your act together.
Josh from York said, okay, well, here's a topic
from
we
York?
Can talk about.
York?
Sure.
England?
Pennsylvania?
I don't know. It just says York.
England, I'm going with.
What do
I'm
you
going
guys.
Pennsylvania.
No, now he's going to be like Fred.
Does it matter?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Is he a worldly listener? Is he a local listener?
Josh, I don't care where you're from. What do you think of Jake Long, tackle Michigan? He's got the size and strength needed to be an NFL superstar. I believe he only allowed one sack all of last season. It's one of the only people to be named captain 2 years in a row at Michigan. The guy's a beast. As a big UM fan, as well as a diehard Pats fan, I feel the need to make my case for him because the Pats could really benefit from having a solid tackle for years to come. I was just telling Andy upstairs, I think he's going to be the biggest bust in the history of the draft. Supposedly, his strength is run blocking. He looks like he's the size of Eric. He has no muscle tone that I can see whatsoever.
Thanks for not going with me there.
And then they tell me, well, his weakness is quickness. So you're going to be a left tackle. You're not really a dominating run blocker. You're not quick enough to get the pass rushers. And as you know, as a big U of M fan, the guy he had the most trouble with was Vernon Golston of Ohio State. 2 years ago in the 41-39 game, Golston abused him as badly as I've seen a top prospect get abused. And again, this year, Golston had a big game against him. And I think that's a red flag because when you're looking at the Big Ten, you're not looking at fast edge rushing type guys. You know, Iowa, Northwestern, they don't have those fast edge rushers. So knowing that he got dominated by Golston 2 years in a row, that makes me nervous. I just.
Might want to turn your mic.
Sorry about that. How did he do, out of curiosity, against Michigan State with like St. Deke and they had a couple of
those guys? I don't know how he did personally, but in the second half, those guys were all over the place. They returned a fumble, I believe, for a touchdown in the second half. I don't know how he did personally
because
in that
that's
game.
Those are, I think, good barometers. And we used that last year when we watched was it Leon Hall? I think.
Yeah.
When we watched all of that pressure that those guys up front, Woodley and Branch and the rest of that great Michigan defense applied to so many teams, and we kind of looked at the corners and the cover guys with a little skepticism because they were getting there so often, so quickly. So that I think that's a good gauge. You know, watch him against Golston. Watch him against some of those guys from Michigan State. Why can I not think of the tight end's name that plays both ways sometimes? From Michigan State.
Oh.
Really, really good athlete, quick. Julius Peppers type.
Yeah, I can't think of his name now either.
They also have St. Deke was a great pass rusher as well.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to see how he goes up against
guys like
real
that.
Speed
yeah.
guys and see. Because I think you're right, Tom. I think in the Big Ten, he can handle himself probably physically.
Right.
But the
and that's what we get on those
agility.
Tapes. I call it the Ron Dane syndrome because I thought coming out of college, Ron Dane, every time he played a bad team, racked up 260 yards, but against a good defense, he was nowhere to be found. So when we get those tapes, if we see all the highlights or of his good highlights are guys from like Northwestern and Indiana or someone like that, guys that we know he can dominate against, then we raise the red flag. See, I want to see him do it against Ohio State, Michigan State, as Paul said. They played USC in the bowl game a couple years ago. I want to know what he did in those games, because those are the type of guys he's going to be playing in the pros. And we've just heard, and Andy, you've heard this too, we've heard the phrase right guard too many times. We've heard that he's a right guard and
right tackle.
Right tackle too many times. And I'm sorry, I don't want to draft Nick Kazier with the first overall pick.
No.
You know? Oh, yeah. If he was like being talked as a second, third round pick, no problem.
Oh, he'd be great value.
There's
down
talk
there.
Of first overall pick. I just find that.
How did it get that way then if he has all these question marks?
Well, maybe other people don't see the question marks.
It just happens all the time.
Maybe we're just smarter than everybody else.
But this happens all the time, Eric. I think
I kid.
We were just saying this upstairs. The problem I have with guys like Mike Mayock is their top five is always the same as everybody else's. Like, not one time they've seen like a DeBrickashaw Ferguson and say, this guy can't, you know, I don't think he's as good as, you never hear that. So I think everybody just falls in line with the top five or ten and says, well, this guy must be good. And I'm not saying Jake Long is going to be like this. He might be an okay NFL player, but
he might end up as a good right tackle.
Yeah.
Right? But you don't take a good right tackle in the top three picks.
And he's going to go in those top five picks. So people, that's the safe way to go, what Tom's talking about. All of these guys are all going to have him in their top five, and they're going to end up being right.
So they're
and they're
going
to be able to go down and check off the list.
Yeah.
Accurately predicted the top five guys. They went in the top five. You know, and I think they get safe. I would rather see them try to evaluate the players like Tom uses DeBrickashaw Ferguson. Maybe if someone came out and said, yeah, he's going to go in the top five, but I'm not so sure he should.
Right. So
I'd like to see that.
They're more concerned with getting their draft board right than they are predicting whether the guy's going to play well.
That's personally what I think the problem
is
with this
stuff. Yeah, you hardly ever hear a main guy get criticized, ever. But then on the flip side, there's not one person that hasn't said that he's not as good as Joe Thomas.
Right.
Now, Joe Thomas went three last year, right?
Yep,
three to the Browns.
Yeah.
Long might go before that.
How many times do we watch those tapes and whatever position we're doing, and we look and we say, okay, you know, this guy, and you try not to have the preconceived notion in your mind when you okay, I know this guy is, he's supposed to go in the top 10. So you're like, oh, great first step, great cover, good physical press coverage for a corner or whatever the case may be. And then you watch someone else who you never heard of, and you're looking and you're like, I really don't see a whole lot of difference to the naked eye.
That's the big
and
thing.
And we're not scouts.
We're not
breaking it down to the minutia that they're obviously doing. But if you can't really notice the difference between the guy who may not even get drafted and the guy that everybody's saying is going to be a first round pick, something's probably wrong there.
And a good example of that, Paul, would be last year Andy fell in love with the Lawrence Booker highlight film, and he said, this is the best highlight film I've ever seen. Then I said, there's a guy from Oklahoma you might want to look at. And when you watched Adrian Peterson, there wasn't like, well, there's a close second running back in this draft.
Right.
You saw superstardom on everything that he did, and that's the type of highlight. If you're a top five pick, I want to see Jake Law. Now, Vernon Golston's a top 10 pick, too, so he might get the better of you every now and then.
Right.
But to dominate the way he, I mean, I know this year we were on the bus during the Michigan-Ohio State, but I have the game taped from 2 years ago when they were 1-2. He got dominated. Golston dominated him in that game.
Sort of the way DeBrickashaw got dominated by
whatchamacallit from Virginia Tech. Tapp.
Yeah.
Daryl Tapp.
And what have we seen? DeBrickashaw Ferguson has been a disappointment.
And Daryl Tapp's been a pretty good NFL player.
So, if you're going to be one of the top three picks, you shouldn't be getting dominated by anybody.
Because
you're going to face that
guy
every week.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. So there should be a difference. When I watch you, I should say, well, that, you know, like Tom says with Adrian Peterson, that's why he is considered the best running back in this. Because I've seen him do that, and I haven't seen any of the other 20 guys that I've watched do the same things. And, so many of the, especially the linemen, where you really don't know, and you're watching, you're trying to say, like, is he pushing this guy around, or is he, in pass coverage, is the guy ever getting, the edge on him on the shoulder or whatever? And I watch a lot of guys, like those guys from Auburn last year, that they were solid players. They had solid rookie. Ben Grubbs, I think, was one of them.
Yep.
Very late first round pick, if I recall, right?
Yep.
Wasn't he like 30 or something like that? Those guys, you watch their tapes, and you're watching these other linemen that are supposed to be, all world, and I didn't see that much of a difference.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And yeah, and we will say too that for us, linemen are the hardest guys. Oh. I mean, Andy's the lineman expert. I told, you know, Eric, don't worry about the linemen.
Big Cat Williams, I got him on for that. One of the most impressive things I've ever seen Andy do, and it's a short list. I would grant you, but Big Cat Williams
was Johnson.
A good solid offensive lineman in this league for what, 10, 12 years. Big Cat Williams, yep. He comes in here. Bill signs him, and he's doing like, you know, just the rope work out in the on the practice field. And Andy looks and he goes, yeah, Big Cat Williams ain't got nothing left. And I said, what? He goes, I'm just watching him. He's got no footwork left, no agility, can't move. He's all done. I swear to God, 2 days later, they cut him. I am not kidding. Two days later, they cut him. It was amazing. We were all over him, too.
Well, there's a lot of draft talk. There's a lot of emails about the draft. The Gherkin man, Mike Gherkin, he's frustrated because he's early in his very uneducated evaluation process. But this is how he has the top six going right now. Chris Long to Miami. Which
I like it.
Which I think that's going to happen. You can see those guys falling in love with a guy like
Chris. It's either him
Long
or the quarterback. They decide they want the quarterback.
I think you're right. Chris Long probably goes there. Dorsey to the Rams. Matt Ryan to the Falcons. McFadden to the Raiders, Jake Long to the Chiefs, then he's got Golston to the Jets, and he's got seven, he's got a question mark, and he said, who do you think the Patriots would take if it turned out this way? I would have to say Cedric Ellis, defensive tackle USC, would be the best player on the board.
He would probably be the best player on the board, and that gets into our, would they go that route?
Right. If not, it would be Ryan Clady, offensive tackle, Boise State.
Or the top corner.
Yeah, or the top corner if... Now, here's the thing. Like, corner, I think there's a...
But Ellis, if he slips and some team's in love with him, that might open up the trade value.
Exactly.
Because he's considered a potential... I mean, some people think he's the best player in the draft.
Right.
Not everybody. But when
week, Mayock did. Now, this week,
now
I'm
he
not
doesn't.
Sure.
Now you know, it's Richard Mendenhall.
Now it's Matt Ryan is number one again.
But I think Ellis is a guy that someone could fall in love with and say, he's the best player on this board. Right. And I can get him at seven. The Patriots want to trade... That could bring value to that pick, and that's one of those you have no idea until it happens.
Right. And the only thing I would say, at six, with the Jets sitting at six, if they got Ellis or Dorsey there, in my opinion, they have to take them. Because
Probably. That's
where they've been extremely weak, is that interior, the defensive front. That would be my guess. I mean, Golston would certainly fill a need there for him, too. But the Patriots, we've been getting emails about Dan Connor. Now, I actually like Dan Connor.
He's better than Posluszny.
And I said that last year that I thought he was a guy that takes on blocks, unlike Posluszny, who kind of runs around him. But at seven, you're not going to take Dan Connor at seven.
No.
You're telling me that he's better than Patrick Willis or in the same league, and he just isn't.
Now, maybe you trade down. If Ellis is there, you trade down Connor or something. Could happen that way, but he's not the pick there.
The one guy that we're going to be looking at closely at the combine, Eric, is Goff, the linebacker from Vanderbilt. He has the skills to fit in this defense really well. And
Inside guy, and he
could play here, and also a Kaysan, the cornerback from Arizona, who now looks like a second round pick, which I'm just stunned by. I don't get that
at all.
You
were saying he was the best corner in this draft.
He's one of the best corners I've ever seen. In college, the way he breaks on the ball, he can play safety. I guess it's his speed thing, and I guess he's not going to run a good 40. I don't know how it works, but we'll see how that turns out. And he says, thanks, and as a huge draft fan, I cannot wait to hear what you guys have to say from the combine. Also, did I hear that Tom may not be going to the combine? Why the hell not? That is true. I will not be attending this year for personal reasons. There's some things going on that I have to take care of here, so I won't be able to go. But I will be blogging from the couch. It doesn't mean that I won't be watching on TV, but Eric and Andy will be down there getting all the information. Andy is thrilled to be going. I noticed you were working earlier this week on your...
I put together my big board.
Your idiotic rankings that you do. Where
I got
you
my
take
big board together.
35 different websites.
Copy those for me?
I can get you a copy.
35 different websites and average the rankings together or whatever it is that you do.
And then I'll be making adjustments as we go along with the ever-popular up-and-down arrow
system.
Yep.
Tom, are there certain things that I should be looking at website-wise or any other information that you usually look at before you go?
Yeah, we'll give you – Andy's got the whatchamacallit, NFL Draft Scout, which is the best one.
Comprehensive site.
Yeah. Stripper says Kuiper said Kaysan in the fourth round in a chat yesterday. He said he lacks real speed. See, now that's just I just don't understand that. The guy's got 30 interceptions. 30. interceptions. How much
30?
About how much in a conference known for throwing the football? You know, good receivers, good quarterbacks.
30 in how many years starting? Or play, or
well, he's played all 4 years.
All 4 years, yes. He's got 30 interceptions.
Yeah, but there's not many people who have 30
interceptions.
That's
really good.
Coming out of school. Now,
the only thing I could think of with that, and I don't know much about Kaysen, but maybe they're worried about his speed, and they figure if he doesn't have it now, what's it going to be like in 3 years?
Well, I mean, he could be like the Otis Smith of college. Like, he's a smart player. He's got great instincts.
Exactly.
But at some point, he's getting – he's peaked.
But
Chris Frates.
But here's the thing I don't get about the speed.
Poor Chris Frates. He's listening too.
He returned.
He's throwing your poor friend under the bus. Sorry,
he's returned more interceptions than anybody I've seen for touchdowns. I mean, when he gets his hand.
No,
caught.
I'm not saying that he's
not
great.
And, he's a punt returner who's done well. But I don't quite understand the speed thing. I'm wondering if it's time speed, because when we watch him, I want to see. Because I've never looked at like Kaysen. I've never watched him in a game and said I'm worried about his speed.
Yeah.
This has come the
but
last.
I think Andy's comparison to Otis Smith might be perfect, because Otis Smith made a ton of big plays, even late in his career. He returned a lot of passes for touchdowns.
Right.
And he just always seemed to be one of those guys in the right place at the right time.
But if you were drafting for a league better than the NFL, you might say, well, Otis.
If that's the way he was playing in college, making a lot of big plays, but that's how he was doing it, I wouldn't have touched Otis Smith with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
Because I would have been worried that when you increase the level of athleticism all around, he's going to be left behind. And I don't know anything about Kaysen, so I'm not saying that's what's happening. You know, I'm just judging off your evaluation, Tom. I think he's probably a pretty good player. You've usually guys that you fall in love with can play.
Well,
I will give you that.
He's got the other thing I like about him is he's got the. You know how Samuel might not have that game-breaking speed, but he's got those instincts that gives him a step ahead. That's what he has. And Kuiper, the strippers wrote what Kuiper said. He said, awards are a lot about publicity and perception, you know, because everybody loves Anton Kaysen for being the Thorpe. That's how he won his award of being the Thorpe Award winner, because he plays in Arizona and everybody knows who he is. Ridiculous right there. He has good size.
Are you
size.
His agent?
He has good
so
size.
Personally offended.
Are you getting a cut?
He doesn't have great recovery speed. The combine workout is important to Kaysen. Does he have the speed to catch up? He's probably about a fourth round guy. That's Kuiper. Now, Kuiper knows I disagree with his evaluation on Kaysen. I think he's off. But he is pretty accurate about where, like, he talks to people a lot more than I do. So right now he probably is in that third round area.
Well, that sounds like that would be great value for New England for a guy that they might
see. I think
might
he would
taken.
Be perfect for this system. Perfect for this system.
They like slow defensive players
with good instincts. No, you're right.
Tom gets mad.
Yeah, you know who's fast? Fastest guy on the team, Ellis Hobbs. How's he doing for you?
I was going to go Bethel Johnson or Chad Jackson,
that's
but it would have worked.
That's the thing that makes me mad about the combine and all the stuff that they put, you know,
you
emphasis on. No, they put emphasis on bench reps at 225 and the 40 time. And look at the guy, like you said, the guy had 30 interceptions in 4 years. Look at the guy making plays.
That's what.
Why he's going to get drafted.
I
think if
you
went
drafted,
off if you went off his combine, they would laugh. I mean, sounding like the way Kuiper's talking, they'd probably laugh him out of the building if they went off the combine. He's going to get drafted because of what he did on the field.
I mean, I watched a guy play Thursday night against Oregon. I saw him pick one off, go to the house. There wasn't anybody in the picture. Then I saw him return a punt for a touchdown, and he was jogging at the end. I just don't know how you could be that slow. You know what I mean?
Like, questionable motor.
Unless he comes out and runs like a 5-0 at the combine. And then
well, that's
say,
what I'm saying.
You know
how
I mean?
Slow is he? And that's my point.
But
and
if he's 4-5...
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's not enough to keep him. You know,
yeah,
if he's that good, that wouldn't be enough to keep him. You
if
know,
he's
out
returning
of the
punts,
pick.
He can't have be slow as molasses.
Yes, he can. There's a lot of guys that return punts that aren't really fast. Troy Brown was never really fast.
Yeah,
he
returned
punts for years.
He doesn't look slow to me. You know, on the field, I don't look at him and say, "Boy, this guy's really slow." We'll have to see how he runs at the combine. This is obviously, you know, someone that we'll have to watch closely.
How many picks did Samuel have at UCF when he came out?
I don't know. I didn't really know much about Samuel. That's UCF was.
That's my point, Tom. You got a guy like you said in Kaysen who's playing in the Pac-10 where they throw the ball all the time, and the guy's made plays.
Right. And the other thing,
and they're saying he's only as good as a fourth round.
The other
pick.
Thing too is that when they were talking about him on that Thursday night game, they said he's smart as a whip. You know, he's the all-academic team. He's a guy that does stuff in the community. So I'm thinking to myself, he's this guy's
maybe
perfect.
He's not a perfect Patriot,
but
smart as a whip.
But apparently,
I'm sure they're looking for that.
But that's what I'm saying is because you're hearing all these good things about him, so I'm expecting him to run like a 4.9. Because if you had all these good things and he was a 4.55 guy,
I would tend to agree with you, Tom.
That's good enough, you know? So we'll have to see what he runs
based on the way you're talking, I would tend to agree with you. I think if – unless he runs an absolutely disastrous time, I can't see him being a second-day pick.
Right. Now, Strippers has some – Strippers. This guy, he's – there's at least 12 emails in here from Strippers. They're coming in faster than I can talk.
Feeling bad about not
He says, NFL Total Access showed the top 10 runs of the year. Guess how many were from Adrian Peterson?
Six.
I'd say five. I don't
four.
Know. I didn't hear the question.
Eric the Leg, four, as Strippers says, domination.
What was the question?
Not exactly unbiased. Don't you run
they
his website?
The
yeah, it says www.adrianpeterson.com, where I was once quoted, but I can't get a sandwich from the guy who runs the website.
I told you it would have made for bad radio if you got the sandwich strippers.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay.
Don't pretend you like
what?
It.
Samuel attended Marissa South Miller. Florida, blah, blah, blah.
I thought you were talking about the basketball coach.
No, eight interceptions for Samuel.
Over his whole career? But he did run a 5.440 for a while, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is where I don't like Kuiper and guys like this. Now he's fallen in love with the guys like Leotis McLeven from Troy, Mike Jenkins, Dominic Rogers, or Mike Jenkins from South Florida, who's a top guy, but Dominic Rogers Cromartie from Tennessee State. Nobody knew who that guy was before the Senior Bowl. Now I don't mind if those guys move up the draft rankings, but now I'm hearing their top 15 picks. You know what I mean?
That's what happens every year.
That's weird. I just don't understand how, because Kuiper to me, Kuiper and Mayock, I'm paying them money for them to tell me about these guys first. You know, don't wait for the Senior Bowl and let me see Rogers Cromartie pick off two passes. Then tell me he's, you know, this great athlete. You tell me first so I know. That's what I'm saying. They're just sitting back. They're doing nothing. We should be running this draft.
Because he has an assistant.
I mean, that Mayock's the biggest fraud in the world. Right now he's got Mendenhall as his top back. Then he'll see a highlight. You know who Mayock
Andy
is?
Andy Hart.
He's the Andy Hart of the draft. That's exactly who he is.
I agree.
Okay, who do we got? Okay, we should read the one that has the title, Paul's Bald Spot.
Oh, boy.
Hey, guys, James from England checking in. As we are in the wake of the Super Bowl and run up to the draft, I thought I'd ask an important question to Tom, Andy, and even Eric. Is the picture enclosed a picture of Paul's bald spot, and should I put it on the MySpace for the world to see? Please give a special thank you to my insider for sending me this. P.S. I'm expecting a yes to the pick, so it's already up.
can we just see if it really is? Okay. I would assume it is. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's it.
Okay, so that is now on, what is the website, Andy?
MySpace.com/PFW in progress.
You can go there and you can see Paul's bald spot, which is, I think, the reason why Paul did not want that website started in the first place were for things like this.
Well, plus Paul's like
not necessarily
25 years old.
I mean
that
is what it is. So I mean, you know, that's my bald spot. I don't care. I don't mind that. I just I don't really need a MySpace page because of what Eric said. You know?
Okay, well,
40 freaking years old. I don't want a MySpace.
Kuiper's kind of like the Bible. You can kind of pick out the things you like when he like if he's defending
the Kuiper code.
Yeah. So
well, they all are.
So
let's get to the bottom of this.
I don't know.
Who's his insider?
I have no idea. I've never seen that
picture. Is it Chris? Jana?
One of those people that took pictures.
Michelle?
I would say one of those people that took pictures.
They're all out to get me.
Dalrymple?
Dalrymple had a camera down at the Super Bowl.
Dalrymple could be a candidate.
That was at the Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Two gender in there.
Are you sure it's not Tugender?
No, it's two genders.
As in...
Tugender.
As in...
So it is a hard G.
He's male and female. Hermaphrodite.
Two gender he's going with now.
Yeah, I would too. But it's two gender.
If I had two genders, I would go with
Randall
gender
Gay
too.
Could go with Randall Gaye, but it's gay.
You could go with Jay, Randall Jay, but it's not.
Right, it's gay. I, the G is silent. I, matey.
Strippers wants...
I'm waiting for you to read an email, and I'm thinking, does he really want me to continue with this gay line of...
I stopped listening to you. I was watching basketball highlights.
He's looking so disgusted at you.
Strippers wants to know if we'll be blogging during the combine, because he won't be able to see it. Yes, we will. Andy and Eric will be there blogging important information, and I'll be blogging my stupid observations from the couch.
We need a card. You got a card?
Yes.
Where's the other card? I need that, Tom.
Fred has it. He took it from me.
Oh, I got to get that one, Fred, then.
I'm sure one of my blogs will be about after Kayson runs a 5-2, me cutting my ties with him.
Like I never thought that guy was good to begin with.
Like last year when I wrote 32 stories about Gary Russell from the running back from Minnesota ran. And although he did make the Steelers as a backup. So
he's got that going for him.
One guy we should mention.
You know, after Willie Parker broke his leg.
One guy we should mention, though, is a kind of a guy like that. He won't be at the combine, but Ali Broussard, who used to play running back for LSU, after his sophomore season, where he scored, I believe, 12 touchdowns and had like 900 yards, those frauds like Kuiper had him as one of the top 15, you know, how they go back in their books.
Yeah.
And they had him as a top 15 guy coming out in the draft. Then he got injured, kind of lost playing time at LSU, missed a whole season, and transferred to Missouri Southern. So he's a guy in the late rounds who you might, depending on his health, might want to take a shot on because he apparently had enough talent to be considered a top prospect at one point. And I don't know his story yet. I'm sure we'll get more about it as we go to read more stuff. I don't know if he has, like, off-the-field problems or anything, mm-hmm. but that's a guy I thought was interesting when I saw his name in the draft.
Quick side question on college football. This Mallett kid, why in God's name should he be able to play right away?
Because sometimes people just think that they can – the rules don't apply. Do you ever notice that when people like will ask for like special like
yeah.
I mean, this has been going on for 50 years that if you
now I personally think that the transfer rules are stupid.
I agree.
But however, they exist.
Yeah.
It's like therefore he should have to sit out a year.
This reminds me of Chris Ferreira asking for free oil. Like there's no way he should get it. But why is he asking? That's what I don't get.
Where's Mallett trying to go?
Arkansas.
He went to Arkansas. He's at Arkansas.
But I mean, all hell would break loose if you could just switch schools year to year, right?
The rule is if you
unless
you transfer down a level,
right,
you have to sit out a year.
But Paul's right. I think the rule is stupid.
It is stupid.
Well, the kids get screwed because the guy that recruits them leaves and they can't do anything about it.
And I'm sure that's the basis of his petition.
But
is that
a lot of
I went to Michigan and I would have never transferred if Lloyd Carr stayed.
Right.
I'm sure that's his reasoning.
Life's not always fair.
Exactly. That's you know, as Fred says, this is the business we've chosen. You know the rules. If you transfer to another Division I A school, you sit out here.
This is the business Fred has chosen. He hasn't been here for the last two shows and left early yesterday.
He hasn't been part of it at all.
I do like that Appalachian State is playing LSU to start the season.
That's pretty
interesting. Wow.
You want an over? LSU won't be able to stop them because they have trouble with the spread. And I don't care who they play, where they play, when they play. That quarterback for Appalachian State runs the spread offense as good as anybody.
Who else they got coming back, do you know? I mean, not that it matters. Is back.
I think during the championship game, they mentioned something about them being even more scary next year.
Because they're all
young. But, so, no, that's going to be good.
First time ever that the champions are meeting up.
And because LSU does not like that spread attack, that's why I thought Oregon had a shot against them if Dixon had been healthy. So that's going to be an interesting game. I bet you that'll even be on TV. I bet you that'll be on ESPN2 or something.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be that quarterback can play.
He's very good.
I mean, that's as good a 1AA player that I've seen.
He's very good.
Okay, Fred. Oh, yeah. I knew you had something to say. Fred, we should mention to everybody, has started a new diet. Okay.
He claims it's the flat stomach diet.
Flat belly.
Based on looking at him, it's the fat belly diet because he is one fat bastard right now.
And when did it start?
He was talking to the cheerleading coach yesterday, apparently trying to impress her, saying that he was on the flat belly diet. And I overheard, snuck in. It wasn't the same because Andy wasn't here. He would have heard it easy if he was here at his desk. So I asked him about it. Apparently you can't eat stuff for the first 4 days where you retain water. So he's all excited because he lost 5 pounds, which means it's all water weight. And as soon as he drinks a thing of water, it'll
gain it back. He's dehydrated.
So he didn't really know the parameters of the diet. It basically came down to Nikki tells me what to eat and when to eat, and then I eat it. And he didn't look very happy. So my guess is he may be off the flat belly diet today.
Especially between the hours of 9 and 5 when he's here and she doesn't see what he's eating.
So we'll have to see how that works.
Show and now, you know, our listeners are giving us pizza and
wings. As you know, I'm on the Weight Watchers. Now, Paul is also on.
I'm having a hard time.
Yesterday I come in. I went to the gym, you know, because we're in the off season. It took a couple hours off for lunch. Went to the gym.
There was a time that he was gone that I just thought for sure that something had happened and he was gone for the day.
Came back. I went into the break room and we were talking about all the diets that we're all on because we're all fat.
Yeah, I haven't really started mine.
And so Kyle says to me, "Oh wait, Paul's on Weight Watchers because I just."
My God, that is funny!
What the hell's that about?
Now Tom's going through the glass. Look at him.
I really hate you.
He does that no matter what the story is. If you're telling a story, he's going to play that clip.
How about I call up Robert Kraft and you can play some circus music while he's here again? That was a pretty
call there, you idiot.
It was Jonathan.
But
still a Kraft.
Oh, okay, that's much better.
Yeah, the one that's actually more involved now with day-to-day operations.
And he doesn't have a temper or anything.
But apparently Kyle went to McDonald's to get a couple of cheeseburgers and a large fry for Paul.
Probably back to cheeseburgers.
Which really puts a dent into your points.
Yeah, well, lucky for me, I only had a half a thing of soup last night, so I still stayed. But today, forget it. I had pizza. I had a couple of wings.
You're over the points
strippers
already,
Strippers is killing me. I'm probably over the points already.
Strippers, you're doing a fine job, and we appreciate lunch. We actually haven't given you the Bill Walshing we usually give because you've been such an active participant.
And you screwed it up.
And we do that to him all the time.
He didn't screw mine up. You're doing a fine job.
He didn't screw anything up for us.
Great lunch. You are the best, Strippers.
It wasn't his fault. It was, I mean, when Gary tells you don't send a sandwich, I mean, why would you send a sandwich? You're probably thinking, well, Tom's Weight Watchers. He's eating.
That's true. You change your diet once a week. You were on the panini, off the panini, on the turkey, off the turkey.
Remember when he got the turkey sub and he started yelling, "Don't you know I'm off bread?" And he's throwing the bread around.
No. Gary knows that I'm back
this
on the turkey sub.
This chicken has too much fizz.
But at any point, I'm not on no sandwich. You know, I'm not, as Andy said, I always get some kind of sandwich.
And to be fair, if you send a turkey sub, you're always safe.
With Tom, turkey sub should get you by without too much of a reaction.
Oh, he'll complain somehow.
Without an hour's worth of complaint
about something.
It won't be cut, you know, there'll
sort of
be
like
a pickle
at Thanksgiving dinner.
Something.
I always complain because my mother screws something up every year. But
imagine he does it to his mother, too.
I can imagine that, yes.
His sainted mother?
Yes.
What?
Unbelievable.
Him.
I said I'm like you in that I complain, and I complain at Thanksgiving dinner every year because nothing's perfect. She has yet to, how old am I? 29 straight years she screwed something up.
I'd be complaining, too. I mean, she only gave you a house. She gave you a house, cooked you dinner.
Acreage.
Yeah. I pay her for every freaking month.
He's not grateful that she's cooking dinner for him.
Right.
He's just like, it's got to be perfect.
For those that don't know, Andy had an interior decorator in this week to tell him how he should set up his living room.
Right. I really have no idea what you think when you come out
free.
With these.
Yeah.
No,
ladies,
when you
go there, and the lady's like,
Why would you talk about
free.
It?
Why do you need help?
Why would you talk about
to put?
Because I don't. Because it's one of those things.
It's like Fred said.
Don't you know what a measure?
Yeah.
Measure and tape.
But just measuring doesn't do it because you got to have the idea of what it. You know when
the
recliners pop out, how far they stick out.
You bought a couch recently, right?
Yeah, I did.
Didn't you just go look at the store and say, "I like that couch"?
I did. You one better. I just told Beth, whatever you like, just buy it.
I'm not rich like you.
You have more money than Paul for some reason.
You can buy a measuring
inexplicable.
Tape.
I'm going to have to start watching.
You measure the area.
I know how to measure.
Measure
that
the
doesn't
area.
Mean it's going to fit properly.
What it's all about
if
is if
know
you
the
guys,
measurements, then you pick the couch that is under those measurements.
See, if you guys had a house that was as big as the free one that he got with rooms that were the
big.
Size of that, you might want to get a plan going in. You can't just measure it.
I know one thing. I got to have a talk with Fred. I mean, this guy, he's got more money than God. I'm going to have to keep checking that Sports Tonight. What are you on, three times a night or something?
I call him.
What are you guys doing tonight?
You guys need me tonight?
Jeez,
you know what? I'll stop by. If you can squeeze me in, just squeeze me in.
Once they started the regular rotation of you and Paul, I stopped watching. I need enough of that crap at the office.
That's going to leave a mark.
You know what I was thinking, though, last night? We have tomorrow off, and we have Monday off. Yeah. That's going to be the longest we've been away from each other since the summer.
Thank God.
We could all use the break.
But probably since like early July.
Yeah, isn't that amazing, though, when you think about it?
Yeah.
Because we've been away from our wives and our, you know, whatever
our kids
it is you have, Eric.
Sorry.
I believe it's called a partner, Tom.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how they were saying
that
it.
That was Richard Seymour.
They're not saying anything.
Is that the
Tom.
Preferential word that you like?
I'm not acknowledging.
Significant other?
No.
Gay boyfriend?
But not acknowledging. That.
But since we should mention that, Eric, you
said pirate.
I whispered.
Oh, you didn't whisper. You said it right in the microphone.
Yeah, but no one heard it when I said it.
I'm sitting right next to
you. And he's got
to
yell it.
Now, Eric, so the fans know, your art show is still going on, correct?
Correct.
The one that you had going?
Correct.
And that
started on Super Bowl Sunday.
And that goes to the end of the month.
You got
correct.
The Cartman as if I care.
Well, you know, we're trying to give him a plug. If you're in the greater Providence area.
You don't want to be giving Eric any plugs.
And,
he gets enough plugs.
No,
hey, guy, you could use a few
trouble
plugs.
Him out.
Done
right there. That's a good shot right back.
If you're in the greater Providence area and you have $10,000 on you, you want to buy a picture.
It's not that much.
Providence
Art Club, Thomas Street in
downtown
Providence.
Or you could just buy one of those disposable cameras. Take a picture.
Buy a Polaroid, shake it a couple times, and you got what Eric does.
Okay, Alejandro is—he's not happy. He said,
"The guy from Bogota, right?"
Yes, he said, "Tuesday's show was a travesty, and I'm not talking about Eric's hosting skills, which are far better than his flirting skills. That I'll agree with.
Are you flirting?
I mean, how can you make a list of coaches who may or may not be gay and snub Jeff Fisher?" Come on, the porn mustache, the Had Milk advertising. To me, he looks ready to dance on a Wham video.
Well done. Well done.
Him and Buddy Ryan, I bet.
I got the guy with the Wham shorts.
On a serious note, during the Belichick years, what kind of approach do the Patriots take on draft day? Need or value? And do you have any insight on the linebackers' retirement talk? This is going to be a long off season.
Well, they combine need and value just like everybody does. Yeah, I would say they lean more. If you make them lean more towards one, I'd say value. But
I think what he said
part of that is that they don't really need a whole lot. You know, needing capital letters.
I think what he said about Brady last year about sums it up. If there's a quarterback they love, they're not going to draft him.
Right.
They got Tom Brady. Yeah.
And he would say last year he would say running back. You know, we just took Maroney. You know, obviously we're not.
But if there was a third round quarterback who they thought was the best quarterback, they'd take him.
That's where
then need and value merge.
That's where value comes.
But
in.
Then again, did they need a defensive lineman when they drafted Seymour and then
I was going to say defensive line.
Seymour obviously was a need pick, but when you get to Warren and Wilfork, that's where you're combining the value, and especially with Wilfork, you know, because they had Warren and Seymour, they probably felt we're pretty good right now up front. But then all of a sudden, Wilfork is there, and you can't pass that up. We were all falling. Remember when that pick came around, Andy? We were falling all over each other. Like, I can't believe this guy's still available. There's no way they're going to pass
Wilfork.
Yeah, no way they're going to pass him.
That was the ultimate value.
The one time that we all actually had it right as that draft was unfolding.
It was a layup, kind of.
It was, but. You know, but that just goes to show you he was so good.
The Dolphins had a layup last year and picked Ted Ginn.
They couldn't pass. They couldn't pass.
Well, and that's what you're going to get, Eric. If they have Cedric Ellis 1 on their board and they're picking 7, and there's no one else there at the time that they really feel fits their team, they're going to take Cedric Ellis, even though they have great defensive linemen, because they're going to feel this is by far the best guy available. He can still help our football team. Seymour's been injured. Will Fork's going to be a free agent. So. I'm under the belief that you always need good players. I don't think you draft a running back if you have three great running backs, but a defensive line, you can't have enough of those guys.
Right. I mean, there's three positions. So first of all, you're always one play away from the guy could be a starter.
Right.
It's not like quarterback where there's only one. So
that's,
if you have
multiple. That's the difference. Running back, there's really only one, that you're going to take in the first round. Quarterback, there's only one. But, you know, the other positions, there's usually, you know, there's depth there involved, and you can live with it. I agree with Tom. I think if they had a guy like that, number one. Now, that's also presupposing that the number two guy that they have isn't the guy that they might feel is a bigger need.
Right.
You know,
well,
let's just say
the divide between
let's
the two.
Say for argument's sake, there's a cornerback that they think is number two on their board, and he's available too. They're probably going to take the cornerback.
Because you got to stack your board both vertically and horizontally.
That is correct, Andy. Love the draft buzzwords that they never explain to us in any way whatsoever, but they just throw them around.
You know what it means.
No, I know what that means, but I'm talking about I like to actually see the board stacked one way or the
board.
Other. You know what else they do? And I was talking to
the
Patriots.
Oh, okay.
He's just throwing these theys out there.
Talking to some people the other day, and one of the things that they do, and I'm sure that there are other teams that do this, but they really put an awful lot. They invest a lot of time in scouting the other teams, and kind of charting what they do
what
and
they might
trying
do.
To predict how they do. And, you know, one story they said, you know, if they're going to look at a guy and maybe they come away and they're kind of unimpressed with that particular player, and then they see two teams that are really investing a lot of time in that guy that they think do a good job with their preparation and their scouting, they might give another look and
around.
Say, maybe we missed something on this guy. You know, Team A and Team B are usually on it, and they like this guy. Why don't we? Let's go back and look. Conversely, the other way, they might look at a guy and say, you know, and have a negative impression confirmed when they see a team that they don't respect spending really a lot of time around him. Yeah. I think one of them that this guy said, Oakland is a team that drafts poorly, according to the Patriots.
And everyone else.
So they might see Oakland, looking around, and they might laugh to themselves and say, well, that doesn't surprise me that they're enamored with that guy's flash or whatever, but there's nothing really there. So they put a lot of stock into kind of trying to predict and where the teams are going to go, number one, and number two, kind of following which players the teams that they respect are also interested in.
Which pick the Falcons have now?
That's a coin flip, right?
4 or 5.
It's going to be the coin flip with those when you guys get to the combine.
4, 5, 6.
One of the 4, 5, 6 ones, right?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what they do because you had done that story on their new GM when he was here and talked a little draft strategy with him, no?
Yeah, but that was about the Patriots.
But do you think he has the same sort of philosophy as far
as... Oh, no, the philosophy I think would be the same, but I'm talking about the specific players that he was talking to me about. I don't have any idea if the Falcons would be in need of similar kind of players. For example, he was talking about linebackers, and we've talked about it on this show, and how he felt there were going to be some available that he thought better fit the Patriots system. Well, I don't know if Atlanta is going to go to a defense. I doubt that they would because it's the coaches, not the personnel department, that are implementing a system. So I don't know if those same linebackers that he thought might be a fit for the Patriots would necessarily be a fit for the Falcons.
Although Mike Smith's a pushover, so he can basically tell him to do whatever he wants.
No, this is what you're going to do. Okay.
For all we know, D'Angelo Hall is going to be calling the defensive signals on that team.
Set? You all ready to go?
I am.
Okay.
I thought you'd be excited. We're talking draft.
No, I am. I'm just you have to know with Andy if he's done talking. Because if you
I
don't,
do ramble and hang.
If you don't know and you start to read another email, then he's just going to keep talking.
Well, that's true.
Okay, this is
NCAA.
From...
Oh, I'm sorry. I blew this.
Right there.
I blew this. I want to make.
It's the
NCAA Rules Committee is looking at those three things.
What a surprise! We thought one of them was a good idea, and it's
college. That's a good point.
Make up for okay. So mock.
So there, mock did not get that.
Oh, he didn't get it.
No.
Okay. So now, is he going to be in the draft now?
I would guess, right? Well, no. Can he?
I don't know how that works. Like, all right, we'll figure that out.
Who?
Put on 2 years. All right.
Well, Florida State teams put on 2 years probation for a cheating scandal.
Well, they were cheating? Well, that's a shock.
I can't imagine.
Chris from the Bronx, he says, hi, guys. Sent an email earlier, but with Fred not there, you're going in a predictable order with email, so I don't think it will get read. Just as well, it's time to move forward. Is that a shot at me?
I think it might have been.
See, that's the opposite. With Fred not there, Fred goes in order.
Yeah, I'm moving all over the place to try to
say unpredictable. Did you read it wrong?
No, it says predictable. He says, "What do you think about the Pats trading the 7th pick for a mid first round and mid second rounder? Would that work in the Jimmy Johnson pick rating system?" Andy, you know about that.
I don't believe that would work. Falls off significantly when you get out of the top 10 in the high part of the first round of the draft in terms of value. So I don't believe it would work. I don't have the chart in front of me, and I certainly don't have it memorized. But, I mean, it gets back to the question, not so much now at 7 as when we were thinking it could be like the 4th overall pick. It's a little less expensive, but what are you willing to take, the 10 cents on the dollar, 20 cents on the dollar? But I don't believe Strippers probably has the chart available already in front of them. I don't think that adds up. A mid-round first and a second to get to 7 shouldn't add up.
Okay.
Although there is a belief that chart needs to be, that somebody who knows what they're doing needs to make up a new chart.
I was thinking that last year when we were talking about it, I was thinking that's something that somebody made where everyone's just so lazy they'll probably just keep it.
That was the chart that was made when people would trade everything for a top 5 pick, and they won't anymore.
Right.
It's been devalued a lot. So I wouldn't actually be surprised if smart teams, like if Ernie Adams has his own chart that's very different from the Jimmy Johnson one. I'm guessing the good teams have a new chart that's changed with the years.
And
we've seen the trade value, both players for draft picks in the Drew for a first round or those types of things, and then what it's worth to move up has changed dramatically over the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys traded 2 first-round picks for Joey Galway.
Right.
Who would you trade 2 first-round picks for these days?
And then
Manning, Brady?
Even the Russell Maryland, when they traded with the Patriots at number 1 overall. You're not going to get the same package now.
Right.
So... my guess is Ernie Adams has a new chart that's all his own.
Okay.
Ernie, could you post that on the web somewhere so we could get it?
or just send it to us.
Yeah.
And Chris says, I like Jonathan Goff, the linebacker from Vanderbilt, especially considering his production despite his lack of a defensive line. I know it's hard to unearth any hidden gems these days, but who do you see as some mid-round linebackers who could contribute? He said, thanks. One thing let me say about Goff is
Now, no, I don't do anything on Saturday. Nothing. I sit there from noon till 2 in the morning and watch football. In 2 years, I've seen Vanderbilt play 2-3 times, okay? And I've obviously seen Goff play a little bit. They talk about him nonstop when they show their games. But as far as people knowing, like, you're going to get fans writing in saying this and this, you don't see Vanderbilt play unless you live in the South. I can tell you that right now because they're just not on TV that much.
Or go to channelsurfing.net.
Yes, which is the greatest invention of all time, where you can watch any college basketball that you may or may not have money on.
Tom, who were I'm going to rely on you here. There's a couple different linebackers I liked over the course of the season on college games.
Yeah.
I got nothing. I can't even tell you the team.
I just remember coming in from a couple, like, maybe Thursday night games.
Jay Lehman, the guy from Illinois, the white guy.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Thursday night.
We like the guys from South Carolina, though, right? Jasper and Casper Brinkley.
I think I did. But they got now.
I don't know what their situation is.
Brinkley got the medical hardship, okay. I believe, so okay. He's returning to school. I have to be honest with you. As I said to Andy, I started looking at these draft rankings after the season, and a lot of the guys that I liked didn't declare,
right?
Because some of these people that I saw during the year were. I think today you just assume guys are going to come out.
Yeah.
And everyone just went back to school.
Seems like everybody assumed everybody was coming out. Nobody did. Now you should have come out because you would have been
higher. Because no one came out,
yeah.
Right.
But, as far everything I hear from Goff and from what I've seen a little bit of him, he does fit. He is a Patriots kind of player because he has athleticism, but he's also big enough and physical enough to take on blocks. And he's kind of like Patrick Willis was last year, where he plays for a team that's not that good. So he's got to do pretty much everything himself. And we found out what Patrick Willis can do when they give him a little help. He led the NFL in tackles and was Rookie of the Year. So that's definitely a guy that these guys will be focused on at the Combine if they get to see him, because they're leaving on Sunday when the linebackers will be there.
Linebackers and corners.
I'd linebackers like him more if his corners. First name was Jack.
Jack, oh.
Jack.
Andy in Vermont. And he says, okay, guys, first time I've written since the great game with the horrible ending, but I wanted to touch on
something.
I thought
it was a terrible game with a great ending.
Yeah.
Not if you're a Patriots fan.
Well, you know what? If you watch it again, it's not as bad as we originally thought.
From section 403, it sucked.
You know why I think we thought it was bad? Because we were in stunned amazement of the way the Patriots were playing. Like, we were just so shocked that they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, they only had 7 points through.
But when
quarters.
You watch the game again,
three
it's a
half.
I'm just saying it's not as sloppy of a game as I thought it was. I think a lot of it was the Giants' defense. Although, you never know. Brady doesn't look like himself in that game.
Nope.
I think definitely the ankle had something to do with that. He says, but I wanted to touch on something I stated early in the year, then heard some stuff that backed me up on Maroney. They were trying to make sure he was healthy, holding him back. I believe it was Wojcik, the strength and conditioning coach, who said that, and Felger, your buddy, reported it on Comcast Sportsnet. But anyway, the Patriots had a crappy offensive game plan, very unpatriot-like, too. No walkthrough? Strange. Anyway, congrats begrudgingly to the G-men. Why? I hate the Giants.
Wait, now they lost because walkthroughs are so important that they didn't have one?
I thought they weren't important
because you could tape them and it was okay. It wouldn't give you any advantage.
But Ivan Fears actually told Eric that.
Yeah.
That line.
That was during
Super Bowl
week.
So Felger stole that from us, evidently, right?
No surprise there, huh? Felger stealing stories from us?
No.
Yeah, Ivan Fears.
And getting it wrong.
We talked to him during Super Bowl week, and I talked to him specifically about Maroney and just his development over the past 2 years, and we talked a little bit about his injury last season, the shoulder injury that he had off-season surgery on, and he said, yeah, you know, by the time training camp rolled around and the preseason, we felt he was 100% healthy, but they figured, hey, since we're throwing the ball so well, why not just save him as much as we can to be sure that later in the year he's definitely is healthy.
Doctors didn't think he was 100% healthy.
Well,
wore a red jersey, and Bill told me that's a doctor's decision. There was no coaching decision involved. I'm just saying.
No, you're saying by the time the season started.
I thought that was a little questionable when you asked him that at the time, and that's why I told you that.
So that's what Fear said. And then when Sammy Morris went down, he said, well, we had to try to give Lawrence a little bit more carries than we had expected. Because
he actually said, more carries, right?
He didn't say it twice, no.
He's a double talker.
He didn't talk double when I,
two
when
times,
I talked
two
to
times.
Him. But anyway, so all that right, was his point.
Right.
Okay, we'll take one
I don't
more.
Buy it, by the way. I'm not buying.
I'm not either.
I don't buy it either. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Although he did have his greatest production in the last
because
half
plus
of the
we
year.
Also we also had heard from some team sources that Bill called Maroney out
yes.
on one of the games that he didn't play, saying it's time to get back in the lineup here. So
I'm glad you said that, Paul.
I don't think that makes – I don't think that jives.
This is the same guy when we heard about the Ted Johnson thing. We were like, we could see that with Bill because he wants you out there. Just like I said, you could see it with Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells and everybody else. I don't think Bill's –
And those football coaches.
Yes, I don't think Bill's the type of guy that's saying, yeah, let's hold – you know,
let's hold him
let's
back.
Let's hold him
Bill
back.
And
hold
I've
back.
Been – no. A position coach is like a father. Or I mean, yes. He's looking to protect his guy.
He's a liaison between the head coach and the players.
He has
he's
a
that assistant coach in Miracle. Where he says, if you need a friend, go to...
Right, and that's what he is. So I'd expect him to try to manipulate the facts to make his guy sound good and sort of ease the situation a little.
Yeah, we should state this as frankly as we can so we don't get any more emails. Bill holds nothing back ever. He wants to win every game, every single week, by as many points as humanly possible. He's not holding anything back. If he believes Maroney's healthy and can help him win, he's going to get carries. And we saw that, you know, as the year went on, as I think Maroney got more confidence. Once he could help the offense, he started becoming, I don't know if it was so much health as it was confidence.
I think he earned the carries.
Yeah,
I don't think he didn't get the carries early because they were holding him back. I think he wasn't getting them early because he wasn't earning them. And
their passing offense was ridiculous.
And it was ridiculous. Down the stretch, he earned them.
Okay, one more here before we take a break. This is something that bothers me, and I'm sure it's going to bother you guys too.
You?
It's Phil in New Hampshire. He says, you've probably addressed the whole Goodell Spectrum meeting, but let me ask, do these guys really believe that the Pats only won games as a result of videotaping to include ESPN and Skip Brainless? It's not about that.
Skip Bayless aside, I don't think anybody really thinks that.
But no one's saying that, well, they went in, taped these practices before the Super Bowl, and that's why they won. You can't do that.
Right.
And I think any reasonably intelligent human being will tell you that that's flat-out cheating. Forget the defensive signals stuff. I'm talking about sneaking in somewheres, videotaping a practice the day before the Super Bowl, and having that little bit of advantage going into the biggest game of the year. That is cheating. I'm sorry. I don't care who does it. It's cheating. That's
the
way I feel about
it. Did you hear or read about Tom last week, I think it was, Jimmy Johnson, I think, talked about a piece of video that he saw on ESPN or one of the other network channels during, I think it was the first Super Bowl against the Bills when he was with the Cowboys, and he said he saw them running a shovel pass on that, you know, that like the 5 or 10 minute window of video footage that you can shoot during the Super Bowl at practice. And he said he saw that on the broadcast and then told his assistants about it, and they worked on defending that particular play the rest of the week, and then it was used, I guess.
I'll tell you exactly what it was.
But I think
was,
that makes a lot of sense. I think that's exactly what we're talking about.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'll tell you exactly what it was. Before the half, the Bills – this was the second Super Bowl.
It was the second
Before
one.
The half, the Bills were up 10-6 and driving again. And a touchdown would have put them 17-6 at the half and put the Cowboys in trouble. On third down and goal from the 8, the Bills ran what I consider one of the worst play calls in the history of professional sports when they did a shovel pass, and the Cowboys were there to eat it up. And they had to settle for a field goal, and that changed momentum going into halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bad play call to begin with because you have Jim Kelly, you throw it in the end zone there, you're a two-touchdown underdog. But the Cowboys were all over it. So that's when it happened.
So does that fall in your mind? Does that fall under the rubric of cheating?
Oh no,
you didn't do it because they didn't go. But now here's the thing:
if they had gone to practice, there's the difference. If they got the same information through underhanded or unscrupulous ways, that's cheating.
But I think Johnson was making the point.
I know he's probably trying to defend Belichick, but I think he's actually doing the opposite. They're going to be fishing
next month on a boat,
right. And the thing is, Eric, that's the thing. Like, say he got that. If you taped a practice and it helped you with one play in the game, that was a huge play in that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Cowboy fan, and if they had scored a touchdown there, the Bills, Dallas was in a whole lot of trouble. That changed the entire game. So if the Patriots got a tape from practice illegally, and it even helped them on one play, that could be a play that changes the entire landscape of the game.
Yeah.
It's cheating.
No, I agree with you. I agree with that. I'm just saying
But it's not like
trying to figure out why
people are lumping that in with Spygate. See, I don't think any of us thought Spygate was that big of a deal.
No, and I still don't think it was that big a deal.
So, but if you break it into practices and taping walkthroughs before a Super Bowl, to me that's different.
And I think that Johnson is probably trying to defend his friend. and saying that these are the kinds of things
he
that
probably
happen.
Did it too.
But well, that's neither here nor there, no. You know. But
well, no, that's sort of here because that's the slippery slope that Roger Goodell faces.
No,
if Bill goes, well, Jimmy Johnson taught me to do it, so you're going to take his three Super Bowls away, and he learned it from whoever X, Y, and Z, and all of a sudden, 30 of the last 42 Super Bowls are called into question.
Yeah, no, I think that there's an element of that for the NFL, but we can't say anything whether or not Jimmy Johnson did. You know, that's not what I'm talking
right.
about. I think he's trying to establish that I saw something on TV. Is that illegal? That's not that. That's like apples and oranges again.
Actually,
it's
proves
not,
the other point.
It's
that
not. It's,
if
it's
you gain
proves that it's
a
value.
Sliver of information, you can put it to good use, and it can make a difference.
And oh, by the way, that's why Belichick is so adamant about wanting to have his practices closed when they are open, not reporting on trick plays and all that, because he thinks there's advantages to be gained by all that stuff. I personally find it very humorous. If there's one thing, if you're going to ask me about those four Buffalo Bills Super Bowl teams, the one play that stands out in my mind, that stupid
right.
shovel pass they always yep. ran to Thurman Thomas.
Yep.
Are you going to try to tell me with a straight face that Jimmy Johnson needed to see a clip?
Goes, son of a, we forgot
Center
about that play.
To defend that play? I'm sorry, I just think he's too good of a coach to have said, I never thought of that. I'm going to put that, make sure that's a big part of the game plan here. We got to stop the Jim Kelly shovel pass to Thurman Thomas, especially down around the goal line. I mean, I think those cute little anecdotes are nice, and you can bring them up for, and they make for good stories, but I don't think they're accurate. I just don't.
Yeah, and listen, we don't know anything about this because the guy who supposedly has evidence hasn't said a word, but just know that when Ron Borges stole someone's story, people wanted him to be in prison. They wanted him murdered. And now these same people are going to turn around and tell me that if you tape the practice before the Super Bowl, that's not really cheating. Mm-hmm. I can't buy that for a second.
The other thing I thought was a little bizarre was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I saw Mike Martz quoted, or somebody from the Rams back in 2001 was quoted last week saying that, oh, all we did in that walkthrough was red zone stuff, so it wasn't like they, like the Patriots would have seen anything anyway. Did any of you guys see that?
Yeah, well, yeah. Mike Martz, I think, was trying to be like what you just said and trying to be kind of
gracious,
the coach fraternity.
Yeah.
And,
but he thinks they cheated.
But Kurt Warner has taken the same
right.
tact with the red zone. They had all our red zone stuff. It was Mike Martz saying all we did was red zone, and Kurt Warner was saying they had all our red zone stuff.
Sort of
and that's
most
why
important
we couldn't,
area in
right.
the game.
And that's why we couldn't do anything in the red zone. The only successful play, Warner said, the only successful play we ran in the red zone was a quarterback draw, a
yeah.
quarterback sneak, when,
yeah.
which was not a play
after
that we scripted.
And yeah. Paul's right, because I have a pretty good source that told me that Martz believes that it happened but won't go on record because he doesn't want to sound like a baby. So
I think
so
that's
he
what
is
it
kind
is.
Of going on record, but he's couching it in
yes.
that, oh, it was just red zone. But in effect, he's really coming out there saying, hey, they taped our red zone plays.
I think the coaches, you know, they see what happened. Like, Dungy got some slack for coming out and saying stuff. I think Holmgren caught some slack flack for coming out and saying stuff. And I don't think that they want to get perceived to be these whiny coaches that are, you know, going against the fraternity. I think
plus,
that
you never know when you're going to be on the same staff. You need a job. Some guy. I
mean, yeah, it's just not smart to do unless you have.
You don't want to burn any right. You don't want to burn any bridge you don't need to.
And we'll now take a break.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CMS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
We're back. I'm screwing around with Mini Gary. I won't come on here and talk because he doesn't like give you any kind of warning that you're coming back. He'll just point to you when you're back.
He's jamming the bump music too.
He doesn't know what he's doing back there. Let's be honest.
Pot that down.
He's got two genders and no clue.
Okay, we have gotten about five emails that have said Zach Thomas released by the Dolphins. No interest. His career is over with. Can't play.
That's I agree. Didn't release him with the other group of nine.
I don't know, but I agree. No interest.
Tuna dropping the hammer. This is what I think. I don't want any more 38-year-old linebackers.
I also don't want linebackers with concussion histories.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want... Dan Morgan's not that old, but he's got you know, a history of concussion.
He got a whiplash thing, too, after the Patriots game, actually.
I want, you know, Zach Thomas was a great player.
Yeah, but his career is over with... this is like the Al Wilson.
I was going to say, should we add Al Wilson to the list? Mm.
He was
in what, Detroit?
I was going to say, I just heard something about him in Detroit.
Asante Samuel speed in 2003, 4-6. And that's one of the reasons why he dropped in the draft.
And now he's going to get $100 round. Million. Dollars.
See, to be 4-6 isn't slow. If you're a corner with instincts, 4-6 isn't slow to me. Now, if you're running 4-9, 5-0.
But he also, based on that story that we read about him, he also did a tremendous amount of work to get to a 4-6.
Right. Yeah, no question.
I mean, he was like a 5-0 guy coming out of high school.
To me, and in mid fours is it's how you play.
Right at that point, it's not.
You're
a big
not
deal.
Ridiculously
right. That's why I agreed with Tom. If he runs a 4-5, then I don't think there's any way he's getting out of the first day.
But I'm glad you brought that up, Paul. About he did a lot of work there. That story on ESPN, Andy, about Jake Long. That's the problem I have with the combine. To me, he's doing is he's training for a test.
Yep.
He's training the exact same way I'm training to take on Chris Ferreira on one-on-one basketball, which means he's doing 60
short-term
seconds
stuff.
As fast as he can. He doesn't train that way. Trust me. He trains for power. He trains for, you know, strength. So basically all he's doing is training for the combine so he can be faster and quicker. But if you're not that fast and you're not that quick,
it's going to catch up.
That's the problem I have with the combine.
And that's what they have to that's the hard part for the teams to evaluate. They have to figure out when they watch a guy play and they think that maybe he doesn't have A, B, and C, and then they see the guy at the combine testing and showing the ability that he has those. Now you got to figure out why he has them. And there's a lot of these. There's one here in Massachusetts. Mike Boyle is a well-renowned
BU guy.
Yeah,
Mike Mamula guy, right?
Yeah, he has a he works out several local athletes every year, and he's getting bigger than just local now.
Yeah, he's pretty well.
And he trains them for the combine, not for specifically for the combine. And that's what ends up happening.
Do you remember
Eastern's women team taking it on the chin there, Paul, down by 40?
Well, it's not the first time they've taken it on the chin.
Haven't you seen me shake my head every time they put the score up? But Old Dominion is 14th in the country.
Do you remember, Paul? Eric Swan, guy that was
Eric
taken,
Swan, yes, minor league football.
Yeah, and he was taken like at the fourth pick, I think, by Arizona back in the early 90s. He was a guy that Mike Boyle brought in. He used to work out with us all
played
the time.
Played for the Bay State Titans.
Yep.
It was a landscaper or something.
Yeah.
He was played minor league football.
He was enormous.
Strippers, I'm just going to merge like six of your emails into one. He talks about Curtis Lofton, the linebacker from Oklahoma that we all like at this point. And
Strippers, anybody not from Oklahoma that you're interested in Tom's opinion on?
Well, not Teddy Lehman, because he says, do you like Teddy Lehman? Could he be a fit here? Oh, you baby.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. We liked him the first time.
Yeah, as I said Tuesday, Andy and I were wrong once. We're willing to be wrong again.
He fit then. He can fit now. Got to be as good as T.J. Slaughter.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I mean, better.
Probably Eric.
Yeah.
I'll take him. Doesn't he have a younger brother? Oh, no, that's the other guy.
Think of the guy from Illinois?
Jay?
What?
Jay the Lehman?
Guy? No, I was thinking of the guy that plays for Tampa now that has the younger brother from Nebraska.
Rude.
Barrett Rude.
Tom's starting to get the hang of this.
You know what you've turned into? Ron Hobson.
I got a lot of stuff going on.
You've turned
here.
It to Ron Hobson.
Plus, I think this
Tom Mucinex, and I have to play the role of Kevin Mannix.
I think this Mucinex messes with you a little. You're a little off.
All right.
Is that you went to the doctor for him to tell you to take that stuff?
No, yeah,
he has the best doctors ever.
Z-Pack.
Just take more.
I got the Z-Pack, which works, but I said, I've been taking cough syrup and stuff. What do you recommend for that? And he said, I'd take Mucinex. It works the best. It's also the most goddamn expensive.
But
it's like a buck a pill.
You went to the doctor for the sniffles.
Or
and
a yet, cough.
And you refused to go to the doctor for the
I had a cough
issues.
For 11 days in a row. That
You've
so
had the
normal.
Intestinal Goes problems away. For 11 years in a row. That's Goes a problem. Away. And that doesn't
I've
go
I've been
away.
To the doctor for that two or three times.
But go to another one.
Take cough medicine.
How many times? I mean, go what am I, Reggie Lewis, looking for the one doctor?
Go to the one that actually
Jesus
treats the problem.
Cripes.
First of all, there's never any call to bring up Reggie Lewis like that.
Rest in peace.
Second of all, they're right. You should go to a doctor and get that checked out.
Read an email.
Yeah, I'd rather hear you coughing than doing whatever else you do.
And listening to what you do in that other room.
Stopping by Kohl's to buy a new pack of underwear on the way home.
We've got a couple of emails asking about Vernon Golston, the defensive end from... now, this is a guy, Andy, who you're going to see down there. He looks like, remember Alonzo Spellman? Remember the way he looked?
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Golston is a physical marvel when you right. see him. He obviously has the speed. But, like, when these guys come back next week, we'll have more. When you guys come back after next week, you'll have more.
First of all, we're going to have a vibe. Eric's will be different than mine, but.
You get to talk to him, you know, and you get to, just from that sometimes you can get
he
a vibe.
He really filled out that uniform.
But, yeah, what the I like just hearing him speak, hearing how they formulate a sentence. Can they speak? I mean, we come to like that A.J. Nicholson. You get a feel
right.
for
Wasn't
what
that
the guy
that lost his ball in the bushes?
If there's a story like that this year, I'm going to be upset.
He tripped and fell in the bushes, and he wasn't running from the police. He was running to get his ID for them.
He tripped and fell in the bushes.
That's
the
classic.
Best part.
That's, I mean, that. And my guess is that'll be one of the ones I go to my grave with.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Right. I wonder if Roger Clemens called him yesterday to get his story. Hey, you got any ideas? I need to come up with something plausible here.
Well, blame your mom and your wife.
The thing with Golston is you're going to have to ask yourself, do you want to take a guy at 7 who played defensive end in college?
Right.
And apparently they only draft those guys in the 7th round. So now you're asking if they're going to take one at 7. That's
the
big question.
I mean,
they got within 40 for the final, Tom.
They don't need
43-46.
One of those as much. I mean, in theory, you have Rabel and Thomas and Colvin.
Right.
You're looking for an inside linebacker.
Andy, I forgot to tell you, Allison says to me yesterday, she's like, I just feel bad because I know you love the combine. Now what if Eric goes down? And then all of a sudden it ends up being Eric and Andy at the combine. And I said, I don't want to sound cocky, but I'm going to go ahead and roll the dice on that one. Strippers wants to know, McNamee or Clemens?
Who do I believe?
Yeah,
oh, McNamee. Clemens is. I mean, they're both lying.
I love Roger Clemens. I'm a Red Sox guy. But He's just not believable at all to me.
Disgraceful, no. though, that if anybody who watched it, that old guy from, I think it was California, who
Indiana,
was, who,
Dan Burton?
No, the other guy
he's a hero.
Who said, you know, I don't believe what you're saying, Roger.
No, that's a different
he
guy.
He said, I don't believe what you're saying, Roger, and that hurts me because you're a hero of mine.
The guy is
old enough to be his grandfather, for God's sake.
I
find this whole thing fascinating because I just don't know what he's doing.
Because he's saying you can't prove it. He's going down.
But when you lie in the media, that's one thing. This guy went before Congress, mm-hmm. took oath, and is just, if he's lying, he's just, and he's not doing it like, well, he's being emphatic about it.
He's like pulling an OJ. He's saying you can't prove it.
And isn't perjury to people like that what tax evasion is to like guys like Capone?
Yes. Yeah.
Like that's how they get you. They'll get bonds for perjury. So all you're doing is setting yourself up for jail time. I find it amazing.
Bill Clinton was impeached because he perjured himself.
Then why was he still president?
Well, they didn't remove him from office.
Yeah, they didn't remove him from office. He was just impeached.
If he was impeached, he should.
Impeachment proceedings were brought.
Who saved him?
Who saved him?
Yeah. Why wasn't he impeached? I want to know why he wasn't impeached. If he was impeached, why was he still?
He wasn't kicked out of office.
Why?
Because he had a lot of supporters in Congress who didn't.
And this is why politics stinks. From what we saw yesterday,
terrible.
From guys getting impeached and still being in office. What are you impeaching him for if he's still going to be in office? Like Andy said, you saw those guys yesterday. You ready to run for Congress yourself?
I think I'm better than the 35 or the 40 in that room.
In all seriousness, the real problem with politics
politicians.
Yes, you're right.
Happened,
he's right.
But what happened yesterday is something as meaningless as this stupid steroid story, okay? How did it break down? Suddenly it became about party politics.
Right, it did.
That's the problem. What do you think that they have to do when they have real issues, you know, like tax cuts and education and reform and things that are actually important? How do you think it's going to break down? Party politics. How ridiculous was it that all the Republicans backed Clemens and all the Democrats killed him?
Very ridiculous, Paul.
Thank you.
Yep. And I think one of our favorites, Jesse Ventura, said it best when he said, I love American politics. It's got a two-party system. That's one more than communist Russia had. And it's true, if you think about it. In those communist countries, they have one candidate you can vote for. Here we have two. That's a huge difference. I got nothing.
What about that rant you went on earlier this morning about about Uno, the beagle?
That dog show is so stupid, and I'm going to tell you why.
They
have a poodle in the finals all the time. So you're telling me every year a poodle should be in the finals?
Talking about the Westminster Kennel Club.
At no point has a judge looked at a basset hound and said...
Who's the guy doing all the show prep?
He's got a newspaper in front of him.
Plus,
what other dog show is there? There's only one dog show.
No, there are a lot of dog shows.
Not that people care about.
Not to us.
There's only one I've ever seen in HD on USA Network.
I don't care about any of them, and I don't even know what you're talking about right now. But
Tom's all upset because this beagle won best in show.
And we all knew he was going to win because Kornheiser and Wilbon told me he was going to win. And so it's a big farce. But
Tom's upset because there's no Basset Hound ever in contention for any of these.
Doesn't even get past the first round. I'm just saying, you're telling me in 150 years, now once did they say, that's a good-looking Basset Hound. You know what I mean? It's always the poodle. It always has to be the poodle.
Well,
I just think it's stupid.
Here's your problem. One of the judge, the guy's name is J. Donald Jones, which I'm sure you find as a pompous name, don't you?
Well, first of all, anybody that goes by three names is a little pompous.
It's a first initial, Donald.
Even more so.
J. Donald Jones.
It's like spelling 75, Eric with a K.
75. Like Kevin Paul DuPont writes for the Globe.
Yeah.
Well, he used to write for the Herald. He was Kevin DuPont when he was looking at the Herald. Then he went to the Globe. It's Kevin Paul DuPont.
Every once in a while, I do a feature, and I do A. Roger Hart.
I've never seen you do A. Roger Hart.
Because I've never done it.
Because I won't let it get in the paper.
J. Donald Jones, 75.
The wheels are turning in
judge.
His head, Mr. Pomposi over there.
It's just going to go by K. Instead of Eric with a K, it's just going to be K.
As in gay.
Exactly.
Everything he does is correct.
I'm a straight man.
The judge said. Talking about
what
Uno
does he
Beagle.
Do?
Everything he does is correct. This is a great dog.
The whole thing is stupid.
I agree with you. That's why
they pick somebody and they make them the champion.
Right.
They don't have rules. They don't have the perfect beagle in their mind. They don't know what a perfect beagle looks
why
like.
Why does it have to be a perfect beagle anyway? Or a perfect any dog?
And that's my point. You're telling me every year there's a perfect poodle who's in the finals?
Right.
Rigged.
It is. It's stupid.
Stripper sent us the draft value chart and he said to talk about it, but I don't really understand it.
What are you, Ralph Wilson?
What are we talking about?
Oh, it's one is 3,000 points. Two
so
is 2,600. Okay,
yeah.
Go to
then
seven.
Tell me what 16 is.
Seven is 1,500.
Okay. 16. Tell me what 16 is.
1,000.
Okay.
And then tell
me
what
the
48 is.
Right. Second round, middle of the second round.
420 equals. That's an equal trade.
What?
It's 80 points off. If, to get to number one? Is that what you're talking
to
about?
To get to seven. To get to the seventh. The seventh pick is worth 1,600 points, so, you said?
Okay. What are we talking about here?
What's 16?
16 is 1,000.
And what's what's like 48?
That's 420, so it's an equal trade.
So it's 1,425.
So it's, 20. So it's 80 points off. Is that close enough?
Yeah.
Probably close enough.
Yeah. So it is close.
So according to this value chart, that is that will do it. Now, let's see.
So who picks 16th?
But I think that what they would do, more likely, is try to swap places in the first round with somebody this year and pick up another first rounder for next year.
Yes, obviously. But now the question is, would the other team want to do that?
You want to, you want to know what I think? I think there's going to be a bunch of teams that won't trade with the Patriots.
Could be.
I think they're sick of them.
Could be.
They're sick of giving them first-round picks that end up being number seven.
Or Parcells could trade with them.
He would, yes, he would.
I would definitely not be willing to give the Patriots a first-round pick for 09, because that would be guaranteeing my 08 would be a disaster.
That is true, as San Francisco painfully found out when their quarterback, running back, outside linebacker, offensive tackle, all were lost for the season within 5 weeks.
It got to the point at one time where they were just losing so many guys, and they... I think like Mike Nolan was probably like, "All right, enough. You know,
right.
we can't make the playoffs. Enough. The point is taken."
Andy, this from Narragansett. What's that?
Narragansett. You moron.
Narragansett. I never heard it before in my life.
Narragansett beer.
No. Narragansett Beach. Narragansett, Rhode Island. I was telling.
I know nothing about Rhode Island except that the Rams play there and Lamar Odom used to play there.
Narragansett beer was like big in the Northeast. You see it like in movies sometimes on like the bar sign above it. You know those old bar signs that
the white sign.
In upstate New York, we've never drinking a Narragansett beer.
What are you
never drinking? Never drinking.
Narragansett beer is back, by the way, under a new.
I tried Narragansett Light this summer. It might as well call it water. Terrible. And I drink Bud Light, Miller Light.
Are you on the Chamber of Commerce for Rhode Island?
No.
Because every time you mention that state, you're just...
He thinks everything
is great. You get a sparkle in your eye. New York's my home state, and I think they should bomb it.
Okay,
who cares?
New York's got a heck of a lot more to offer than Rhode Island.
Because say it's your home state,
it's my home state, but it gets disparaged all the time, so I have to stick up for it.
Because it's a hole in the earth.
It's not a hole in the earth.
It's awful.
It's a great
place. It didn't
get
helped any last night by the wife swap show, which had a crazy religious couple from Warren, Rhode Island.
Who molested
his daughters. And Don Davis was in their church. They showed video, and Don Davis was standing in line with them in church.
Really?
Yes. Scary. The guy's a cult leader in his own family, and Tom's right. He clearly molests his children.
Yes.
The guy on Wife Swap.
Not Don Davis.
Not Don Davis.
Not Don Davis. Don Davis is a great guy.
Yeah.
Well,
I just, I find it amazing that you're always sticking up for Rhode Island.
Because it's a great place, Tom.
Why?
What's so great about it? What's it done?
What's it done?
What has Rhode Island done
besides
for this
the fact
world?
That you live there? What is?
Let's
what,
be honest.
So
they
great?
List coffee
like,
syrup as one of their great,
great
contributions to the world. It's coffee freaking syrup. Who gives a rat's ass? Dell's lemonade. So they got a couple drinks that are okay.
Dell's lemonade, solid.
It's got solid, but
solid, not spectacular.
It's got great beaches. It's got a great.
So does everybody else that lives on the ocean.
No, that's not true.
Yes,
it's not
it
great.
Is.
New Jersey does not have great beaches.
You got
Massachusetts has great
beaches.
Wildwood, New Jersey.
No, yeah, by the way, is way more famous than any beach in Rhode Island.
You just think the Jersey Shore has great beaches?
Oh.
Of course it does.
You
just like Cape Cod has great beaches.
They call it the Jersey Shore for a reason, you idiot. It's because it's well known.
Rhode Island has great beaches, too.
Not as great as New Jersey.
I beg to
You know what Rhode Island is? It's a prospect in the 2008 NFL draft. It's not as good as anyone else at anything.
You know what Rhode Island is? It's a pimple on Massachusetts ass.
Yes.
That's what it is.
It's between Connecticut, which is great. You know, all they have is those mansions. It was great like 200 years ago.
Newport.
It's done nothing since.
I mean, it's done nothing.
It's useless.
What's
it's
it
living
done?
In the
Don't
past.
Don't all the gay people go to Rhode Island?
I don't know. Eric
That's Provincetown.
Where's Provincetown?
That's Massachusetts.
Cape Cod.
Oh, okay.
Eric's considering moving.
Stripper says choose New Hampshire or Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Hampshire.
By far.
I spent 4 years in New Hampshire.
No,
That's more than I needed.
I have to defend Eric here. I think
I like New Hampshire.
Come on.
Woods, mountains, skiing. At least they have something, foliage, that you get in New Hampshire. Rhode Island is a knockoff Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York. It's nothing.
I like Rhode Island better than New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Lake Winnipesaukee. They got one of them in Rhode Island. It's the size of Rhode Island. Rhode Island sucks.
When have you ever been to Lake Winnipesaukee?
And what do you do
every year?
To do what?
That's I go snowmobiling those, and I go ice skating.
Those crabs.
You go snowmobiling and ice skating on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yes,
every year.
You got a problem?
When?
With it?
He's
like
probably
generally
got a,
this weekend.
He's probably got a cabin up there.
No, my aunt does.
I was going to say his mother probably gave him a cabin.
I see.
Anyone else think we're struggling with the 2 days a week? I got to be honest. There's not like a lot of emails that I'm holding back here. We pretty much touched on all of them.
Well, nobody's interested in.
There's emails, but there's stuff we already.
We might have to rethink the twice a week in the off season.
No lunch,
Janet
no
says
emails.
Your boss was born in Rhode Island. There's another negative right
yes,
there.
That's a good point. Who said that, Janet?
Janet.
I say Buddy well Cianci done, ranks in the top five things that have come out of Rhode Island. He's a great politician, a great leader. He got stuff done.
He's out of prison now, too.
His ways are a little bit questionable, but
no,
he gets it done.
No, he did. Yeah, he did get it.
Without him, Rhode Island would be nothing. It'd be a dive. It was a dive before
Providence,
he got to
Providence
it.
Was a dive. When I was growing up, it was
Providence
awful.
Is
it
now nice because of Buddy Cianci.
He had a lot to do with that, yes. That's right.
Rhode Island stinks, let's be honest.
It does not stink.
It stinks.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, look at you're struggling. Struggling to come up with anything. I lived in Rhode Island for 6 years.
When did you live in Rhode Island? Brothers.
Early in my life. First 6 years of my life.
Where?
Little Compton.
Okay.
I don't know.
And he's
what
not
Little
rich.
Compton is.
I wasn't.
Compton is an elitist community.
And I lived in a little shack.
A little shack that probably cost $500,000.
No. Negative.
Little Compton, Rhode Island, where they have vineyards
me.
There.
Little Compton, elitist little rich.
Yeah.
First of all, you can't call anybody elite.
Yeah.
But Rhode Island has nothing. Let's get to the bottom. Stop deflecting here. Rhode Island.
It has
I
great,
just don't know why you can't.
It has great art. Because it's my
everybody
home state.
Everybody from
it's
there
a great
does.
Place.
Dave Dudek, our ex-webmaster, was the same way. If you said something about Rhode Island, it's like it was personal to him.
I think that I they have that, it. You know, that Napoleonic complex because it's the smallest.
There's a little bit of that.
It's the smallest state.
There's a little bit of that.
So I think that they get very defensive just, when anybody says anything.
There's
about
an inferiority thing between Boston
well,
and Providence.
Well, I mean, please, you know. That's a blowout.
But there's a thing.
We have Foxborough
better,
to Providence is a blowout.
We have much better restaurants than Boston.
Yeah, well,
let me tell you that right away.
That's your opinion.
No, that's more than my opinion.
So
it's
just
a fact.
Because you grew up there?
First of all, that
how
can't
it
be
a fact.
Fact.
All right, I'm going to say the North End is better. It's a fact. North End's better than Federal Hill.
Federal Hill beats the North
all right?
End.
I'm going to say it's a fact, even though I've been to like two places with Federal
Gary's,
Hill.
Mini Gary's
and this is just because you grew up there.
No, it's because that's a fact.
No, I'm saying
Federal Hill has
you
much
like,
better restaurants than the North End.
You're defending Rhode Island. You're defending Rhode Island just because you grew up there, I'm saying. Is that correct?
I know more about it because I grew
but
up
you,
there.
But
yeah.
You're defending it because you
there's
grew up there.
To
I went
know.
To school.
If,
I went to school in
if
Boston,
somebody, if
went to college
somebody
in Boston.
From Al Qaeda called me up right now and said we're going to bomb Johnstown, New York, I'd say how can I help? I mean, and I grew up there. That's the part I don't get. Like, what do you?
Johnstown, New York can't hold a candle to what we have in Rhode Island.
Well, how about New York?
It's a little teeny town compared to a state.
Hey, evidently the restaurants in Federal Hill are better than Manhattan too.
It's a fact.
They're pretty
it's a
close.
Fact.
They're pretty close.
Listen, I lived in New York and I lived in Massachusetts.
It's a fact.
And there's not much difference. The only difference is here they have a complex about New York for some reason, like it's this great place
that's
to
true.
Live.
That's true.
But other than that, the people are the same. They're all rude. Nobody says hi to you. It's just they're rude in a different way. So I don't really see what the big difference is.
I think that's very accurate.
And my guess is they're the same in Rhode Island, but according to Fred, they can't drive either.
No, they're worse drivers in Massachusetts.
Rhode Island people can't drive, Fred says all the time.
You've
this
come
is
up
pretty
with
good.
Nothing.
Only 7 minutes left.
You've
what time are bars open until in Rhode Island?
1 o'clock.
Well, Stripper says the one thing
push.
That Rhode Island has over Massachusetts,
two in Massachusetts
is strip clubs.
But it's still weak.
It does have good strip clubs.
Rhode Island has much better
the greater
strip
Providence
clubs.
Area yes. has
he
its
says,
share.
He says pure decadence, similar to South Florida.
It really is.
Strippers.
And you have the
thank you for being the only person listening to us right now.
Dead yeah, on right there, my friend.
They
Rhode Island dominates yeah. in that category.
They do.
Dominates. But now that, my friend... is a fact.
Now I want to get back to something you kind
Eric
of snuck in there
now.
Snuck in there earlier.
Oh, look at the little guy behind
it's
the
a good
glass
point by him.
You said something about art and museums. Are you telling me that Rhode Island has better stuff in that category than Boston, Massachusetts?
Like the Gardner Museum's not better than
No. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying there's a lot of that there. That's one of its strong
points.
There's
also a lot of poverty.
Where?
The whole place we drive through to get to the airport. All I see are run down shacks.
To get to Green Airport
yeah.
when we go on road trip? What are you talking
run
about?
Run down shacks.
Rhode Island does
oh,
have
there's
a
house,
capita.
There's
a, large,
a house
yes.
with a huge sign that says credit with a question mark. I'm sorry. That's not very appealing to me.
I don't remember ever seeing that.
There, it's not a big state and to have
it's,
as
no, it's
large
not,
a
it's
slum.
It's the smallest state.
Yeah, and there's a lot of areas that aren't very nice.
That's not true, Andy.
Yes, it is.
That yes, you lived is. In Little Compton, so you
or
you
I worked on. As a land surveyor in Rhode Island for like 3 years.
A and Lancer,
when everywhere
you,
we went,
never heard of
there
Little
were
Compton.
Dives.
When the hell did you work as
straight
a land
straight out of Compton,
surveyor?
My friend?
10 years ago. 3 years I worked, and everywhere we went, Cumberland, there's all these places where there's very bad areas that are crap. There's some nice areas, too, don't get me wrong. But for a state that's 10 by 10, to have as many crap areas as they do, it's crap.
All right, well...
is that for Little Compton, Little Gary?
Yeah, ghettos.
He doesn't know. Alden says, here's a real question. Okay. Suppose for whatever reason the Patriots decide to place the franchise tag on Randy Moss.
Which they will.
How
we
do
all
you think
expect,
he
right?
would react to that? Generally, players seem to hate the tag. Do you think the Patriots might try this? Jesus, Tom hates everything. Although upstate New York definitely does suck.
They would I probably think it's a lock that they're going to franchise
would,
Moss.
But they would probably try to work out a longer
yes.
term deal.
I think this
but
is a
they
very
have
good,
to make the decision before they can do the second.
Right. I think there's a very good chance that he gets franchised, and then hopefully when free agency starts, they can work out a long term deal.
I'll be stunned if they don't. What's now, that, the 21st they have to do it by? The second day?
Yeah,
well, combine
first
day of the combine.
Yeah. Now, if
well, nice.
It gets
are we
to the point,
sit down with Bill.
I hope
probably
so.
Not.
Do we put that request in?
Is he going to be paying?
Will he be there?
You want to know what's really funny about this whole thing? What? We track. Never read that email from the guy from Narragansett or whatever.
Narragansett.
Oh, we started and then. It's basically blah, blah, blah. I'm a new listener. I like this.
He's a new listener.
Oh,
you got to read
blah,
his email.
Blah, blah, blah.
Don't blah, blah,
on.
Blah.
You got to encourage the new listeners.
He's been listening since week two, for Christ's
oh,
sake.
Oh, then encourage him, then.
He says, hey, guys,
we ripped his state
I
for
feel
half
like
hour.
I feel like I've gotten over the loss. I felt like this was the season. After the loss last year, it seems the loss set up this season. See why I didn't read it? It just seems like the Pats have had some bad luck. After winning 3 Super Bowls, they lose 3 games where things just went wrong the wrong way, meaning bad luck. The way the luck has turned against them, you guys said on Tuesday. 05, the divisional loss to Denver. 06, they passed divisional and lose the championship. After that, the 07 championship. I had a bad feeling they'd lose a Super Bowl. All the games were heartbreaking, and the Pats just couldn't get these things going their way. Maybe they had to lose 3 playoffs before they could win another ring. Thoughts? I'm a new listener, started listening January 18th. I needed something for a 2-hour car ride. I love the show immediately. I look forward to continuing listening to your guys this offseason.
And that's what's
Andy
his name?
From Narragansett.
Andy from
Narragansett.
Narragansett.
The
thanks,
luck
Andy.
I was talking about was on the final drive of the Super Bowl, plays like the Manning escape and the Tyree catch.
And
I wasn't referencing going back all their losses in the last 5 years.
First of all,
I mean, can we go to the Baltimore game if we want to see luck in the last few years? Has there been a luckier win ever in the history of football?
Yeah, the Tuck Rule game. But anyway,
okay, so two of them. It was a fumble.
There was no luck in Denver in 05.
No.
They turned the ball over 5 times.
How would I know? I haven't seen the game yet.
In 06, they had a tremendous amount of luck to get by San Diego, and then there was no luck involved whatsoever in the Indianapolis game. Both teams fumbled the ball into the end zone and had offensive linemen recovering for touchdowns. That's a wash in the luck category.
Our good friend Andy in Narragansett, was it?
Narragansett.
I like how Tom said Narragansett only keeps track of the bad luck in championship games.
Now, there were bad calls in Denver. Well, I think
one really
bad call on Asante Samuel. You could say that's bad. You know, that's a bad luck, bad break. But, you know, there was certainly they didn't lose the Super Bowl because of bad luck.
Great teams make their luck.
And that's why I think the Patriots have been a great team.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say? You know, with all the
I would say,
gotten,
Paul,
I think
over the better part of 6-7 years, they've been a great team.
No, but wouldn't you say that that's been accurate over that? You know, they great teams.
Well, some people believe they had a horseshoe up their butt.
Well, yeah, that's the Rich Perillo theory, but
and the Giants took that horseshoe and stuck it up their own butt.
Okay. Well, we coming to the end of the show here. I'm going to end
up their own butt.
I'm going to end with 2 quick emails here. We'll be back next Tuesday, but that's probably the last time for that.
Yeah, we're going to have to get back on the Wednesday system before March Madness. Anyway.
Little Gary, don't touch anything. Stop touching things in there before I crack you over the freaking head. Stop touching things. The show's not over yet. Mike Gherkin says, I have cousins that live in Rhode Island, and when I visited, they took me to what they said was the greatest restaurant around. It was called the Roadkill Cafe. I kid you not, the Roadkill Cafe. F Rhode Island.
Another satisfied voter.
And Strippers is going to end the show. I will end it with him because he bought us lunch today. Thanks,
thank
Strippers.
You very thank much,
you,
Strippers.
You're the best.
Even though you forgot the sandwich, he says,
he had to throw it in.
New nickname, Andy Ice Cube Hart. from yeah, being from Little Compton. So we'll end with that, and we may or may not see you next week.